Wake up, sleeping fucking beauty! It's 5:30 in the morning here on October 28th. I'm in a parking lot of a Motel 6.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen! This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen!
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
That's Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird. Boom.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D, out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Worms cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris with Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick
Radio. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. It's December 1st, 2011. With me, as always, is Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, Jay, another day, another show. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. We got a lot of stuff to go over. I'm fucking exhausted today, but either way, I'm pretend like I'm not. Yeah, we got our normal stuff. We got a couple guests lined up for tonight. And hopefully the first one will be with us shortly. We're going to go over the CZW card, and we're going to go over a bunch of shit. Indie Summit, the CZW card, we got the debuting, Jesus Christ, I'm losing my brain already, so early too, the Fighting Spirit Wrestling actually debuts tomorrow. It was supposed to, debut earlier, I think that was, November, and, so they're debuting tomorrow. A lot of different things to talk about for sure. I'm going to get into it all, touch on a little bit of Raw. Yeah, we'll see what goes on there. SmackDown, I watched a little bit of that stuff. Hey, what's up, Brent, in the chat? Glad you liked last week's show. I thought it was pretty good. Decent. At best. Yeah, definitely looking forward to this weekend. Big, big shows, man. Fucking supercards. Fucking, this is CZW's... Yeah, this is CZW's fucking WrestleMania. And then you got, you know, previous to that show, you have the Indie Summit. And, I mean, it's a tremendous amount of talent, you know, a lot of Japanese talent, and you got them matched up with a lot of CZW's finest. And it's going to tear the house down, you know, and as hard of an act as that is to follow, you have Cage of Death following that. So, wow, I mean... quite the lineup, that's for sure. Where do we start? Where do we start? Well, I guess one thing I wanted to say right off the bat, a dude that, he's a great comedian, and he was who's actually a writer for the WWE, Patrice O'Neal. He passed away this week. And, yeah, man, fucking very, very funny guy. And, yeah, it's a shame. I actually never knew he wrote for the WWE until he passed away. But, yeah, I mean, it's a sad thing. I know I saw a lot of negativity and stuff like that towards Amy Schumer. The second, you know, Patrice died, you know, it became, oh, yeah, that bitch on that roast said a lot of bad things about him. Like, well, first off, everybody that said that type of shit, shut up. Just shut up. I mean, including you, Paul. That's ridiculous. Like, roasts are nothing but fucking, you know, hardcore insults, fucking trash people as hard as you can. They've talked about people who are dead. They've talked about people who are going to be dead. They've talked about people's illnesses, people's down. But, I mean, it's nothing about niceness. It's always about picking at the weakest point in that person's life or career or what have you. You know, that's always the way a roast is put out. And Patrice was a comedian. Patrice laughed at all those jokes because they were funny, and he's a comedian. And if he wasn't a comedian, he wouldn't have been there, and he wouldn't have been doing the same thing that Amy Schumer was doing out there. And I honestly think the chick was funny as hell. She, you know, she went hard and stuff, but regardless of that, I mean, it really doesn't mean anything, because when it comes down to it, I'm sure, you know, Amy Schumer would say the same thing. He's greatly missed as a comedian. Very, very talented dude. And, you know, the whole thing, man. So, I personally, you know, I can't fault her for anything, because she did what she was supposed to do in the roast. I guess while we wait, I do have a little tribute to play for Patrice. This is something he did on the Opie and Anthony show, and it was kind of, you know, I mean, hearing this after the fact is, you know, kind of grabs you a little bit, but I think it's only right. So check it out.
It's going to be Patrice O'Neal, Warren Hayes.
Man, this is all spoken. Man, you know I've been enjoying things that kings and queens will never have. In fact, kings and queens can never get. And they don't even know about it. And good times.
Great googly moogly.
Great googly moogly. I have had my fun. If I never get well no more, I have had my fun. If I never get well no more,
to hear that after the fact, I mean, some pretty pretty crazy stuff right there. You know, he did that, you know, singing the blues thing on Opie and Anthony, and man, that's some, but yeah, on a lighter note, your fucking Eagles suck. It's now 14-0, and I don't even know why. I just looked at the, you know, computer screen for a minute. I looked back up. Seattle's running into the fucking end zone, celebrating. Sitting all shitty in my division. Jesus Christ.
It's all Edward's fault, that fucking...
It's all who?
Edward in the chat room.
Oh.
It's my dude. Oh. My boy.
Well, I was thinking more Andy Reid, but, I mean, if you want to blame it on that guy, that's cool.
Fucking shoot him in the face. That's all I got to say.
All right. Yeah, more or less.
So apparently, sorry to cut you off there, but apparently one of my friends from my job and shit like that went down to the Eagles game. Actually, a few of them went down the game. And, yeah, they heard the whole Fire Andy. People were chanting, Fire Andy.
All
right. Like, start him off, you got a gun, fucking shoot him in the face.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know, man. You know, they got issues over there, but I have no problem with it because I can't stand the fucking Eagles. So, well, enjoy that with your dream team. It's all good. You're looking pretty good.
I don't know why Edward's calling me Kekoa. I'm not Kekoa the Flying Hawaiian. Just so you know.
I don't know. I've never seen this gimmick before that that you're rocking. So.
No, that's not my gimmick. That's not. Okay. Kekoa wrestled with CZW against Ricky Reyes.
Oh, yeah, I think that was a dark match that I showed up after.
Yeah. Kekoa did like 19 arm drags. He was horrible. And, he fucking stirred up a bunch of bullshit in the locker room at CZW.
Yeah, true that. So, our guest is fashionably late. So, what should we get into now?
Do you want to go over Raw real quick?
Yeah, why not?
Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. Raw was, from what I've seen, I like the whole thing with, I like the whole Cena and Piper thing to start to, you know, for my first thing, you know, I want to talk about is the whole Cena and Piper thing. And I really like the whole way that direction was going, because you're sitting there, or I was sitting there, as a fan, just, you know, watching this, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, what are they doing? Okay, why is this happening? It's just, I don't understand why they would do something like that. Can you, like, maybe bring some light to that, you know, why they did that Piper thing? Like, was Roddy Piper even announced for being on Raw, or did he just show up?
It was definitely announced. Like, people definitely knew that he was going to be on. Obviously it wasn't hyped like The Rock or anything like that, but it was, it was known that he was going to be on, and I really didn't look for it to be any more exciting than it was. It's, you know, I mean, Piper is just, I don't know. To me, it doesn't do anything for me anymore. They've rehashed so many things so many times that it doesn't have the sting that it should. It doesn't have, you know, anything, especially when you look at a guy that's so fucking HGH'd and roided out of his brain that, you know, he could end this old man's life in front of him. He's going to smack him. He's going to get all, you know, like, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. It really doesn't.
It doesn't, but in the same token, it gave off that vibe of, I'm confused, and why are they doing this? And it seems like they're forcing, maybe it's just me, but it seems like they're forcing this John Cena heel turn down people's throats. Like, they're trying to tell people, hey, we're turning Cena heel, which I have a funny feeling about, and I could totally see the following situation happen. They try to turn him heel, and he doesn't get the heel reaction. He gets the face reaction.
No, I don't see that.
Well,
he's supposed to be a face.
My good friend Edward, who's in the chat room, you know, we talked about this yesterday. And pretty much, you know, he thinks that the fans are going to do whatever, you know, they're going if they turn him heel, they're going to cheer for him. If he's face, they're going to boo him, you know? And I disagree with what he's saying. I think the WWE would not have better ratings. You know, Edward in the chat room posted Cena turns heel, WWE would get better ratings. I don't necessarily agree with you. Agree with that. Do you, Jay?
No, I don't necessarily think that the ratings are even an issue at this point. I mean, Cena's been getting fucking heel heat for a while, and they keep trying to push him like a face. And now they're kind of leaning towards, you know, hey, we might actually turn him, but it's one of those things that's been just drug out so long, it's not going to have the impact that it should have a long time ago when people didn't expect it. So, I don't think it's going to, I don't think they'll do a complete 100% turn where, you know, they're going to actually cheer the guy because they hate him that much. You know, these fans will feed into the same thing that normally happens, and they will continue to hate him, and they'll continue to, you know, boo him and that stuff. And he'll get over as a heel because, you know, and then, you know, the fans that just want to go with the flow of good guy, bad guy, they'll boo him too because he's a bad guy. But because the majority of the pops that he's getting right now are the kids. The kids.
Right, right. It's all about
the kids.
And all
that shit. So, well, you know, once he turns and he's a bad guy, he's going to be a bad guy to the kids. And it's just, I don't know. It's really, yeah, like Brent's saying, it's a waste of time. And, or you said it's a waste of time. Somebody said it's a waste of time. Anyway, I don't know. It's just, it's worth nothing to me. But John Cena, like I said, he's going to be a staple in this company for a long, long time. Whether they use him right, which I don't even know what's right anymore with this fucking guy. But, yeah, he's going to be around for a while. Nothing we could do about it. And turn him face, turn him heel, do what you want. I don't, you know, I have to fast forward through him on my TV either way.
What about what Edward posted in the chat room saying Randy was heel and they still cheer for him?
Well, because at the point Randy Orton was getting over, Randy Orton started it. Randy Orton, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he was heel and he started to turn the corner of being a badass. Number one. Number two, a lot of when he was heel and stuff like that, he was facing the John Cena that the crowd already didn't fucking like. So they would rather cheer a heel Randy Orton than pop for a face John Cena. So it becomes that a lot of times. If you actually legitimately like the heel better than you like the face, then you're not going to fucking treat it that way. You're not going to treat him like a face. You know, it's just...
Right, right.
Just part of it. That's just the way I see it, dude. You know... I feel the same way. If I see, you know, a badass heel fighting some cornball face, I'm fucking, oh, okay, good. Let's go for the good guy, you know. I'm not fucking 12.
Right, right. You're a grown-ass adult. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Here's my thing, too, and you know, switching topics a little bit. They ran Miz and Morrison on Monday.
Oh, well, dude. That is funny stuff. Yeah. Leading up to that, the whole build-up was actually, like I had said, Morrison is gone. When they originally started the Brutus Clay promos, and he's coming, he was supposed to come in, and he was supposed to squash Morrison. Well, Morrison, in the meantime, and that was going to be his last date on TV, he would take him completely out and leave the company. Well, then Morrison signed a 30-day contract to try to work out a long-term deal within that 30 days. So that was when they started to push back the Brodus Clay thing, and they were like, well, maybe next week, maybe next. And they really didn't do much with it, and in that time, things never developed. Nothing ever developed into a contract, and what ended up happening was, okay, your 30 days is up. Well, this is your last week. I guess we're going to have Brodus Clay come out. And he had a problem with that. And he was like, nah, I don't want to do that or something. So they switched it up to the point where they said, okay, well then you're going to go down to the Miz and stuff. So that's when they did that whole complete burial of Morrison this Monday through the Miz. So I guess now they're going to have to figure out what to do with Brodus, but yeah.
Well, I think it was funny how they were like, he's coming, and they keep saying he's coming, and who cares?
Well, it was supposed to be, you know, Morrison being a guy who at least has name recognition, whether you like him or not, or whether, you know, he's looked good or can cut a promo at all. That's irrelevant. I mean, he had enough of a name to, you know, get squashed and be like, oh, wow, look at this fucking beast. You know, he was just going to be a stepping stone for the guy that they're trying to push into the company. So it would have worked for what it was, but not going to happen. So, you know, that's what it is.
The problem with Morrison, I don't understand. I mean, you know, people are saying, oh, he's boring. Honestly, before this whole Molina thing happened, Morrison was doing great shit.
In ring.
Right.
Not, like, he had no personality for the most part. You know, he'd come out, flip his hair, looking like fucking Maurice, and fucking, you know, and do that whole thing. And then, you know, fucking Trish Stratus jacket and fucking, then he'd, you know, he'd do his moves and stuff, and yeah, he's pretty impressive in the ring, but he can't cut a promo to save his fucking life. He has no fucking personality, and there's no connection with the fans at all. There's nothing that ties him to anybody other than athleticism. So, I mean, what better place for him to be than TNA, who the majority of their roster doesn't connect with the fucking fans. AJ Styles has never connected with the fans other than being a great wrestler.
Right.
So.
What's
up, Juan, in the chat?
But like in the end, I mean, in wrestling, it's all about connecting with the fans. And if you can't connect with the fans, you can't, you know, that's a huge problem.
Of course, and I'll write you right out of the fucking company because the fans are the thing that makes the money, and without that, you know, that's all it is. So,
But like, okay, so what else?
Raw. Main event was pretty shitty. Considering that, you know, these guys put on a great match on the pay-per-view and everything like that, I think they ran out of shit to do. And then there was a lot of miscommunication, and it just came off, just not great.
What about what Edward said? What do you think about the whole thing with Epico and Primo? Or what? Right now I can't get to the fucking, my fucking chat room just, like, froze up, but... Edward posted in the chat room talking about Primo, a question earlier. He posted
about Primo. He's been gone from
What about this whole thing with Epico and Primo? They remind me of they remind him of a new school, Los Boricuas back in the day when Savio and Miguel Perez.
I honestly have no knowledge of what you're talking about. Isn't Primo out of the company?
No, he's still with the company.
Oh, he is.
Yep.
And who's he with?
Epico.
Who the fuck is that?
I really don't know either. But I know I've heard the name Epico
you
before.
You laugh like, oh, God, you don't know? I'm like, yeah, you don't either. I don't fucking know who that guy is. You know?
Well, hey, you know, I thought you would know. You know what I mean?
No. I mean, they might be good. They might be a good cohesive unit. I know Primo, he was doing some pretty good stuff. He was actually making Sin Cara look really good on his earlier, you know, matches before he really debuted and stuff. And he was just doing the basic dark match type stuff. And they were doing, they were doing good that way. But, again, I mean, he really never stood out as a guy who was going to be a personality. I have no knowledge of where that is, where it is, you know, what they're doing. I don't know if it's a Superstars thing or NXT or I don't know.
Maybe that's what it is. By the way, Eagles score a touchdown 14-7.
Yeah, I seen that. And then, you know, last I saw the fucking Seattle was driving up the field. So I don't know, man. Having a hard time holding a shitty team out of the end zone is not a good thing. So... Okay, they're punting to the Eagles. Yeah, whatever. You guys should at least cover the fucking point spread, for Christ's sakes.
It's early. Pick
the wrong fucking bird.
It's early.
Yeah. 4-7 or whatever the fuck these people are.
Yeah, 4-7.
Sad turn of events.
People chanting Fire Andy.
Playoffs.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, man. Definitely. Shout out I wanted to give too is last night. John Gray put on another J.C. Bailey tribute. I thought it was awesome. He had Drake on, Sammy, DJ, Necro, BJ Whitmer, tons of guys. I mean, a whole lot of, you know, people, you know, JC's dad. We did the tribute last year, and, you know, John Gray did his as well. And, you know, John was a really good friend of JC's and all that, and knew him since, like, really early in his career. So he pretty much decided he's going to make it, like, a regular thing. Like, once a year, he's gonna do the big tribute. And he did a great job with it, and, you know, big shout-out to him if you want to check that out. It's realsidemedia.com. It's a real side of wrestling, and, he did a great job. I was really happy to see, you know, people, you know, talking a lot about JC again, you know, a year later. You know, it's just good to see his name, you know, still out there, and, you know, people, you know, reflecting on memories of him and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's good, man.
Yeah, it's always good to, you know, hear people, you know, positive shit. You know what I mean? There's always the certain assholes that post negative shit. You know what I mean? And they're fucking assholes. You know what I mean? That's what they are. But, you know, JC was a fucking incredible performer, you know? And he should be remembered as one.
Yeah, of course. Alright. Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, you know, maybe you can throw a little SmackDown talk in there.
Yeah, Brent said he forgot about all the other radio shows once he found Yakuza. And,
that's awesome.
That's cool. Whatever, dude. You know, I listen to a bunch of shit. You know, what's up, Not Jigsaw in the chat room? But, you know, we do what we do, but, you know, there's a lot of better shows than us, but, you know, it's all good. Well, Not Jigsaw wants to talk about Chikara. So, I don't know if you got any Chikara talk to throw across the line.
Well, they're running a huge weekend of wrestling this weekend, Joshi Mania, and it's
okay.
Pretty much an all-women show. Well, it's the 2nd, which is tomorrow, the 3rd, which is Saturday, and the 4th, which is Sunday. Friday's in Philly. Saturday is in Everett, Massachusetts, and Sunday is in Manhattan.
Oh.
And huge Asia Kong is going to be there. Miami Toyota is going to be there.
That's awesome.
I think Asia Kong is wrestling Sarah tomorrow in Philly.
Ah, Sarah Del Rey.
I'm not. Sarah Del Rey versus Asia Kong. But that's like a fucking dream match.
Yeah, definitely tremendous. Saturday, where are they on Saturday?
They're in Massachusetts Saturday.
Okay. Okay.
So they're not really interrupting with CZW.
Nah. I mean, such big stuff going on there, and Saturday would be a bad place to run. But, I mean, either way, they seem to have some really big talent. It's an all-female three-day tournament is what you're saying?
No, it's actually just a showcase of – it's not even a tournament. It's just a showcase of all these different women feds are coming down there. And I'm going to be real honest with you. There's one promotion that needs to be in there, and I don't know if it's on, you know – they didn't put him in there for a reason or what, but Pro Wrestling Diana has no representatives. Who's the chick that wrestled Sumi? What was her name? In CZW. Who wrestled Sumi in CZW from Pro Wrestling Diana?
Oh, fuck. I was just thinking about the fucking trivia.
It's not trivia. I'm asking you a question.
No, it kind of is trivia because I'm fucking exhausted. It's like jogging my memory and shit like this.
She was a beast. I remember that. I forgot.
Kyoko?
Kyoko.
Kyoko Inoue?
That sounds about right, yes.
Yes, I think so.
Surprised I got some cards if we want to go over some car cards.
Sure, sure. Being we have someone that wants to hear about it, let's
all right, so let me go over. Let me go over frat tomorrow first. And excuse my Japanese, but I'm not really good at speaking Japanese, so a lot of these names are going to come off not good. All right, so tomorrow in Philly, 7:30 bell time. It's in former ECW Arena. Main event, Asia Kong representing the Oz Academy taking on Cerro Del Rey. And they do have some guy matches on the show, so be aware of that. The tag
I'm
team,
aware.
The Chikara Campeones de Parejas will be on the line as Fire Ant and Soldier Ant take on Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano. Miami Toyota versus Toshi Yumatasu. In a Generation Clash match, Mayumi Ozaki and Mio Shirai take on Ayako Hamada and Cherry. And then they're running JWP versus Chikara. It's a six-man tag, well, intergender. Kaori Yonyama, this is like comedy. Fucking.
He'd be a horrible ring announcer.
Okay. You know what? Cut it out. Would you do better?
A little
like,
bit.
I'd just be like this. Coming down to the ring, and I point. I just point.
Oh, yeah?
I would have laughed too long. Okay, and she's teaming with Tsubasa Kurogaki and Hanako Nakamori. And they're taking on Archibald Peck and Los Ice Creams.
Oh, you pulled that ice cream word off, didn't you?
Yeah, of course. Fucking I love ice cream. Come on.
There you go.
And in a first-time ever match, it's going to be Gami versus Sawako Shimona. Shut the fuck up, all right? Cut it out with that shit. Hey, I got to fucking go two more shows. Right, I hope this is fun.
Oh, fuck. This is awesome. Go ahead.
And then one-on-one, Greed Ant versus Tim Dunst. Fucking, man. Two down. One down, two to go. Hope you all are fucking having a good time.
Oh, it's fucking phenomenal.
Good. You're fucking next.
All right.
Go
ahead.
Hey, I gotta fucking refresh the page, alright? It's fucking taking forever. Alright, so the third night. Yeah, December 3rd in Everett, Mass. Main event, Asia Kong versus Ayako Hamada. Oh my gosh, here we go. Heavy hitters collide as Cerro Del Rey takes on Tsubu Kurogaki. Mayumi Ozaki takes on Mio Shirai. An awesome Atomicos, which is an eight-man tag of Miami Toyota, Mike Quackenbush, Fire and Green Ant, versus Portia Perez, Icarus, Chuck Taylor, and Johnny Gargano. Kaori Yonyama takes on Hanako Nakamori. First time ever tag match, Gami and Toshi Yumasawa versus Sawako Shimono and Cherry. And then a one-on-one match, Gregory Iron versus Ophidian. That's an Everett
match.
Anyway,
speaking of crazy names and stuff, Nandi Asamoah seems like he's really fucking hurt. He's down on the field. There's like the
fucking bullshit.
There's enough players around him to make it look like a funeral. So anyway, go ahead.
So that was that show. And that's what time does that show start? 7:30. Okay, so that's night two. Night three, which is in New York City. I think that's an early bell time. I think it's the same time. Main event, Cerro Del Rey versus Ayako Hamada. Six-man women's match as Miami Toyota, Sawako Shimono and Hanako Nakamori takes on Asia Kong, Mio Shirai, and Tsubu Kuragaki. Mayumi Ozaki takes on Kaori Yonyama in an eight-person intergender match. Cherry, Fire Ant, Soldier Ant, and Green Ant takes on Toshi Yumasawu, Aberian, Kodama, and Kobold. Los Ice Creams takes on the Throwbacks, which is, Sugar Dunkerton, a basketball player, and Dasher Hatfield, a baseball player. So the baseball is back.
Phenomenal.
In a first-time ever match, Gami takes on Portia Perez. And a one-on-one match of Ultra Mantis Black taking on the big rig Brody Lee.
Wow. So is that all?
That's it.
Oh.
That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Fuck you, Edward. All right.
I have a feeling, if you ever ordered some Chinese food and I told you what to order, I'd get a completely different dish than what I wanted.
You know what? You're damn right. But hey, you know, that goes to prove that you can't trust me with that.
Yeah.
Juan's saying we want Mia Yim as a guest. As a guest.
Oh.
He didn't say guest.
Yeah, he actually said as a guest. You know,
yeah.
Because our chat room.
Okay. Archive. That's all I got.
What? Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Not Jigsaw saying. Can you repeat the cards again? I missed a few names. Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, it's just a tremendous. I mean, honestly, I know that you're only planning on doing the Cage of Death card, but I really think you should show up earlier for the Indie Summit and actually ring announce. For the show.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
If you can actually step into
the
commentator booth.
Juan, shut the fuck up over there. Right?
Right. You know, if you just did commentary on the Big Japan matches, that would be tremendous. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably be better than that Rob Neller guy.
Well, don't know about that. I mean, that was a lot of comedy. I guess, seems like he's Teddy Hart in us tonight, so whatever. But while we're on the topic of comedy, might as well keep the comedy shit going. How about Mike Tyson singing Girl from Ipanema in fucking Brazil? Eh? Yeah, let's go with that.
Da década de 60.
Come on.
Yes. Ele quer cantar.
Yeah.
Senhoras e senhores, ao piano Daniel Jobim, cantando no caldeirão, Mike Tyson, garota de Ipanema, the girl from Ipanema. Up to you.
One, two, three, four. Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes will go, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gentle that when she passes, each one she passes, say, oh, but I want her so sadly. How can I tell her I love her? Yeah, I would give my heart back. But each day when she walks through the sea, she looks straight ahead, not at me. Tall and thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes I smile, but then she doesn't see. She just doesn't see. No, she just doesn't see me. She just doesn't see.
Por causa do amor.
So that was actually Mike Tyson singing the Girl from Ipanema. If you go on YouTube and search that shit out, you'll see him. He's got a fucking little white suit on and stuff, fucking dancing around in Brazil. They love him over there. It's fucking silly. Pretty fucking awesome. Yeah, man. So that was that. Guess we're going to start getting into the big show. And I ain't talking about the fat asshole on TV.
Well, do you want to do football first or no?
I think I want to start getting into this. That way, if we do get a caller, you know, a guest or anything like that, I could break and come back to it. Where NFL is going to be a little harder to, you know, get back on track.
Okay.
So I'll just go with this and see where it goes. Yeah, I know, you know, Nina's saying that Tyson wasn't too bad. And he wasn't too bad, but in the same token, he did have a backup singer that kind of, like, overshadowed him when he was supposed to hit a note. So, like, a lot of what you heard was actually, that was his backup singer that was playing the piano and shit. But, you know, you can watch it on the video. Either way. The first show up, I should just leave all the Japanese guys' names out and then let you pronounce them. That would be phenomenal. So anyway, they have, first up, they have, obviously, the Indy Summit show is going to be a 2 o'clock bell time.
Oh, see, I was hearing a 12:30 bell time.
What's that?
I said, I heard it was a 12:30 bell time.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you, read the website, or did you just...
Yes, I went on the website.
Okay, because the one that I'm looking at right in front of me says 2 p.m.
Oh, well, I saw 12:30, and that's why I was like, oh, that's fucking stupid.
Yep. Not Jigsaw's asking where Billy Graham is. He's in Cali. Yep, chilling. So anyway, I was on the show a couple weeks ago. Backtrack, you get it. Yeah, some of the stuff on that Indy Summit show. Yeah, Kamuki and Devin Moore teaming up to face Billy's Most Wanted of Joker and Black G's. Should be a really good match. You got K-Dojo's Kengo Mashimo and Freedom's Takashi Sasaki against Drake Younger and Masada. Another really big matchup there. I mean, you got a lot of matches that, you know, the U.S., you know, the fans over here haven't really seen. And should be pretty surprised in some of the outcomes of these things. They're going to really, I think they're going to put out a lights-out show. I mean, to open the day with this type of thing, just tremendous shit, man.
My only problem is I hope that the crowd at night isn't burnt out because of it.
Yeah, you always got to worry about that with a doubleheader because, the crowd gets too fired up too early. It's really hard to get them back if you hit a low. And, you know, one of those lows that you got to worry about is like a Greg Excellent fucking DJ Hyde match. just saying. Or a six-man match for the number one contender of the CZW heavyweight title with no heavyweight contenders. So, you know, we'll touch on that in a little while. But either way, that's something you might want to talk about, think about. But anyway, you have Sammy defending the CZW World Junior Heavyweight title for the first time of the day. And that will be Sammy taking on Yoshihito Sasaki, one-on-one. Big shit there. Next matchup. Oh, man. You have DDT's Dan Shokodino versus DJ Hyde. Now, for those of you who have not seen Dino, look up on your YouTubes, look up gayest wrestling move ever, or gayest wrestling move, and there's a clip compilation type thing, a segment that was done by Opie and Anthony a little while back, and they rate the gayest wrestling moves ever, and, you know, they got stuff in there like the Bronco Buster and the Last Ride, because that was the way The Undertaker's holding him in his face and all of that stuff. And stuff like that, but then they get down to number one, and it just breaks into a whole thing about Dan Shokodino. and just how incredibly over-the-top homosexual gimmick this guy is. Like, he's got moves like the pipe cutter is like a Stone Cold stunner, but he grabs the dude's dick. He's got a rock bottom that he renamed the cock bottom. You know, you can do the math on that. He sticks the opponent's hand down his pants. He does all sorts of dragon leg screw to the cock. Like, he does, there's really no limits to how gay this guy is. His finish is actually a pile driver where he puts the other guy's head in his trunks. You know?
Oh my gosh.
In his fucking trunks, and then pile drives him. Just pretty extreme shit. And he's going up against DJ. So.
That's how DJ got himself on the card.
So then you have a triple threat, and this is part of Dick Togo's retirement tour. This will be his East Coast stop on his retirement tour. He's trying to wrap up within the first couple months of next year and be retired. And, you know, he's traveled all over the world, and he's trying to do it again, you know, and hit all different spots. So this is his big stop on the East Coast, and it's a triple threat. And it's Dick Togo taking on Kudo, and they added Masahiro Takanashi. And he's going to tear it up. I really don't know Masahiro's work that much. I obviously know Dick Togo, his work, and Kudo is a fucking very quick, you know, flyer, just really, really
strike.
Quick exchanges.
Yeah.
And looking forward to seeing that. I think they'll tear it up. Then you have what I'm guessing will be the main event, is you will have Jackie Numazawa and the Crazy Monkey, Jun Kasai, taking on Ryuji Ito and Danny Havoc in a Shattered Dreams match. So apparently Glass makes its return to the CZW arena over there. Asylum, CZW, New Alhambra, fucking ECW Bingo Hall, fucking, you know, Viking arena.
The Bingo Hall.
Man. It's funny that fucking Juan tried to say Dick Togo is awesome in the chat room, and they fucking censored the fucking guy's first name. Oh, Jesus. Jesus Christ. Yeah, Brent posted the link to that the video for Dan Choco Dino on the Yakuza page, so if you do check that out. Now, he's on his game while we're doing the show. It's good. It's fucking good. Yes, he retiring, Juan. He's retiring. Not Jigsaw saying Adam Cole was champ all year, and now he's not even on COD. I think that's part of the reason why they had to take the title off him. I'm not sure. Is Ring of Honor working somewhere else in the country?
Yes, he is. Yep. He's in Ring of Honor.
Well,
he's in Ring of Honor all weekend.
There you go. That's what's going
on.
Carolina. Yeah, he's going to Carolina in his mind. And in a plane, too. Or a car or something. Fucking James Taylor. You know, he's going to be over there fucking working. CZW is going to be doing their thing. So it is a very, very wise thing to have the title not be on him, you know, and not defend it on a Cage of Death card. So I'm all for it. Honestly, I thought they should have taken the title off him a long time ago just because he has been, you know, out of the company for a few months at a time. And, you know, as talented as he is, you know, doesn't mean you need to lock a title on somebody that's being booked several different places and, you know, obviously is in high demand for, you know, good reason because he's, again, very talented. But you know, there could have been a few months defended by this guy and that guy, and, you know, it would have been a much better thing to do it that way. But, you know, what can I do? I'm not a fucking booker, so.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's more or less what you're looking at with the early show. Looking forward to it quite a bit. The fucking Eagles are down 17-7. I picked the wrong fucking bird in this pool this week. I got to tell you that much. Fucking assholes. They're favored by 2.5 points. All they need to do is win by a field goal. And meanwhile, they're fucking down. Down 10 fucking points. Jesus Christ. Playoffs?
Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Yeah, more or less, man. I can't even understand. I had to deal with all these motherfuckers at the beginning of the season. Oh, fucking dream team, fucking Juan, you know, building a fucking Super Bowl float in his yard over in Jackson, you know, just fucking nonstop. All fucking, everybody got flags, they got their shirts, they got all this shit, and, you know, now, we're winding down the season, Eagle fans, and,
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Pretty much. Najigsaw is asking, what's up with the gay stable in CZW? Are they still around? I believe so. They did that for a minute, and then they disappeared for a minute. They more or less raped Niles Young in the parking lot or something, and then they had a promo with him tied up in the back, and then, hey, Brent. They just paid no attention to it at all for a couple months. And then just previous to Cage of Death, like a couple weeks ago, they posted a video with Niles Young still tied up. And Adam Cole walked in as if he was going to save him. Then he saw all these like gay pictures in front of him. And he's like, oh, I'm not into that. And he left him there tied up. And I don't know. So it kind of makes me feel like they're going to continue it. They'll probably, you know, somehow involve Dan Shokodino in it. And, but, Jesus, you know. How's that going to work in the long run? I really don't understand. And it comes off really weird in the Philly crowd. I said that shit from the very start. Because you're either going to get the crowd to fucking go all out. I mean, you guys are not going to end up faces. There's just no way that a gay stable is going to end up faces in South Philadelphia. And, I mean, for them to go to the point of being heels, that's really not a good look either, because you just want to turn it into, like, an enormous amount of gay bashing and just, you know, that's a pretty negative thing to do. And that's the only real ways that I think you can go. And with Larry being the ring announcer, and he's a beloved ring announcer, everybody loves him as, you know, as the voice of CZW getting in the ring, you know, and, you know, being a tremendous ring announcer, just really, he's got the voice for it, he really, you know, he puts it on out there. So, I mean, to turn a guy like that, you know, heel and then have him announce the rest of the show, it'd come off weird. It would take away from the focus of the matches, too, because he's going to sit ringside through all these matches. And meanwhile, if they build him up as some kind of, like, you know, big spectacle as far as this whole gay angle, then, it's just going to take away from other things. And, again, if they're trying to go face with this, I can't imagine. And honestly, it's not like being against gay or anything like that, but CZW, you know, known as like a badass fucking bleeding buckets, you know, Zandig out there yelling, motherfucker, you're going to die, and fucking, you know, Gage trying to kill people. And, you know, obviously this isn't the same company it is right now, but I mean, this is what it was built off of. This is what the CZW loyal, this is the type of people they are. How supportive of a gay gimmick can a CZW crowd really get and still be a CZW crowd? I don't know about that, dude.
Absolutely not.
I just can't see it happening.
Why are they doing the angle? Like, what?
I have no idea.
They must be killing time. Like, that must be one of those angles where they're like, oh shit, like the next match isn't ready. Ah, fuck it. Run that angle. Let's do the angle.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, a lot of the booking is just kind of like that. They just come up with, like, random shit.
Who's booking it, DJ?
I'd imagine something like that.
Oh, boy. No figures.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, the whole thing with the, you know, gay thing and, oh, well, hey, go get a juicy hot dog. Like, people pop for that. They go okay with that. They don't have, like, a huge problem with it. Then that's all good. You know, I mean, it's really not a big deal. You know, it's just like a, you know, funny little thing. It comes and goes, and it's not like a all show, like fucking, okay, put on your rainbow shirts and jump up and down, or go to the other side of things, like go above and beyond and fucking gay bash. Like, okay, you know, I see your anti-bully policy is, you know, top notch. We're just going to fucking rally the fucking fans against gay people. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's kind of tasteless altogether. And, you know, I know it's not meant in a negative way, but I know, like, the Philly fans, it's going to go one of the two ways. It's either going to destroy the look of the CZW fans, or it's going to have the fans completely bashing. And it might even go 50-50 split, but it's not going to come off well.
No, it won't come off well. It won't come off well at all.
No.
I don't know why they're doing it. It's fucking wasting time. Unless that's what they're trying to do.
Not really sure. So, yeah. Oh, you had actually asked about SmackDown before. And one thing I did like about SmackDown was the main event. Thought that was pretty good. I don't watch Hustle, Juan. I don't know. I don't know about the gay army and Hustle. I don't know. Enjoy. Fall in line, soldier. I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, the Daniel Bryan, Mark Henry shit, man. You know, that I like that cage match. It was a pretty good, you know, big guy, little guy. Bryan lost to the world's strongest slam off the second rope. So, you know, they even in a loss, they still put Daniel Bryan out there as, like, a credible contender. And he had to get finished with a second rope finishing move type shit. You know, it came off well. And I don't know. I like the match. I'm hoping they continue to do some stuff with Daniel Bryan. And,
I hope so.
Yeah. I didn't think he was going to win the title. No fucking chance in hell was he winning the title for Mark Henry. But the only thing I didn't like about that match is Mark Henry is supposed to be, like, he was supposed to be selling a broken angle from, like, a little over a week before that show, and he would, like, limp when he was walking and then sprint to clothesline. A little awkward. I really didn't expect that, you know. I didn't expect that at all. Limp, sprint, clothesline, limp. Fucking sprint body block. You know, he moved really fast for someone with a broken ankle and, you know, so many spots in the match. And wasn't a big fan of that. But either way, I thought it came off good. I'm not really sure where they're going to go next with all this, but I guess we'll see.
One
DVR
thing
just keeps changing the goddamn channel on me.
What is it changing to?
I don't know, dude.
What the fuck? If it just changes the channel, that's weird as hell.
Well, it's, you know, it's set to record stuff, so if you're watching something else, they're like, hey, we got plans. And they just fucking... So, yeah. Either way.
One
thing, what?
No, one thing
that... Are you still
talking
about the gay people in Japan?
Yeah, he's still talking about gay people in Japan.
All right, soldier. At ease, soldier.
Brent is saying gay is popular now. It's the latest trend.
Especially in Jackson, New Jersey. The punk rock girl in TNA, Juan wants to know who that is. I forget her name. Oh, fuck. toxin jigsaw saying? Or not jigsaw, I should say. I don't want people to get, you know, confused. I think we got a fucking wrestler in the chat room. That'd be crazy. Toxin saying? I think she has a different name on the indies or some shit. Yeah, I could be wrong.
Toxin? The last time I watched TNA was like 8 months ago.
Oh. Let me see. I'm pretty sure I know where I could find this real quick. You just hang on me for a minute. Yeah, that's professional. We'll just do that. Now I'm not finding it. That's phenomenal. Is it Jesse Neal? No.
All right. So, okay. So, I got to tell you, I got to post something. So, a former Eagles player just posted on Facebook about the Eagles game.
There you go. It's Christina Von Erie.
Okay. Eric
Pixel, I got it. Oh, it's Toxin.
Okay.
Toxin.
So, I got to post. Like I got to say this. It's football related. So, a former Eagle, Kyle Echol, just posted on Facebook, somebody get in Vince Young's ass and tell him he's not Joe Montana. That's another quarterback run that he takes a dive on. Last week, he skipped out on the four-yard line on a drive the Eagles didn't
score. So, wait a minute. What is this idiocy that you're reading? Where did this come from?
From Kyle Echol, who's a former – he used to play for the Eagles.
Okay, so what did he just say? Go ahead, because I heard the dude's name and then I paid attention. Go ahead.
Oh, someone get in Vince Young's ass and tell him he's not Joe Montana. That's another quarterback run he takes a dive on. This was posted about an hour ago. Last week he skipped out on the four-yard line on a drive the Eagles didn't score a touchdown. Tries to avoid contact with Julian Edelman on the goal line and now slides down for a one-yard gain on first down.
Okay, so what in the fuck does Vince Young have to do with Joe Montana at all? I mean, Vince Young's a fucking guy who, you know, got fucking fired from a team, fucking, you know, he went into a depression, fucking locked himself in his house, they said he attempted suicide, the whole shit, just, you know, huge depression, meltdown, douchebaggery, ends up being a fucking backup for a puppy killer, and, you know, that guy goes down. And now all of a sudden he's trying to scrape together wins, and now we're talking about Joe Montana. I don't understand you fucking Eagle fans. I really know you guys get mad and you start bringing up guys with more fucking Super Bowl rings than you motherfuckers dream about. I don't understand. I just don't get it. What's the relevance of any of that? Oh, Vince, you didn't take it hard up the middle. What do you think, you're Montana? Like, you know, I'm pretty sure he doesn't. Between the fucking accomplishments and his color, I'm pretty sure he knows he's not Joe Montana. Like, hey, am I a legend? No, I'm not. Am I a white guy? No, I'm not. Well, then I guess I'm not Joe Montana. Jesus Christ.
And I don't know why Jigsaw is posting, save us, McNabb.
Well. Don't know, man. Don't know. I know you guys are kind of a consistent playoff team with McNabb. I know they turned their back on him because he couldn't close the fucking deal, but this dream team ain't fucking looking too dreamy. So anyway, what else happened?
Well, we were talking about SmackDown, and we were also talking about Cage Death.
Yeah, I didn't get to that card yet. I'm not sprinting towards that card, but I will get at that. Well, Alex Colon seemed to have no-shown us, and what I was going to ask him about, and I guess I'll just, you know, promote without him, is the Fighting Spirit Wrestling is debuting tomorrow. It was supposed to happen in November. Alex Colon will be on the card, as well as will... yeah, that's funny. They're saying that. Yeah, Vince Young was the only dipshit who said the Dream Team, not the fans or players.
Yeah.
I heard enough fans that jumped on that fucking bandwagon. Let's not get silly. I don't know what the fuck. That's funny. Oh, Jesus. But anyway, they're going to have Sami Callihan, and they're going to have Shane Douglas.
Wait, Shane Douglas? Huh?
Yeah, the franchise Shane Douglas. Did you not hear the fucking promo I played on this
yes,
fucking show?
Yes, I did, but I'm making a sarcastic comment.
Yes. Shane Douglas, Homicide, Sami Callihan, and I forget what the last guy's name is, but he's from Puerto Rico, and he's the he's like a big star in Puerto Rico, and I haven't seen him before. Let me look that up. This will be one of the only
Edward,
weeks.
Who, Edward. Edward's still listening. Hey, who's a big star in Puerto Rico?
Oh, Jesus.
He should know.
Is he supposed to just list them all?
He's fucking trained in Puerto Rico. What the?
So
fucking. He wrestled there for fucking 6 years. You better know his fucking.
Gilbert. His name is Gilbert.
Oh.
Yes, Gilbert. And I haven't, I haven't heard of him before, but I don't think it's no.
No,
it's Gilbert. His name is Gilbert. And, it's Gilbert, Shane Douglas, Homicide, and Sami Callihan in a four-way main event. You also have Low Ki versus The Amazing Red.
Ooh.
You have The Set taking on the SAT, who are the owners of the company. And many, many more. A lot of talent on that card. I think it's worth checking out. It's in Brooklyn. If you know anybody's in that area, they want to go check out, fresh new company. It's going to put on some stuff. Originally, their plan to have the show in November was kind of thwarted by I forget the name of the people who did it, but it was other people, other bullshit promoters that wanted to hate on them, and they kind of just threw like a cock block on them as far as building and.
The Ace Arena? Wasn't they were supposed to run the Ace Arena or something?
No, they were in Brooklyn the whole time, but it was somebody else, and they kind of ran like a whole block on promoter's license or whatever they were doing, and just kind of fucked them out of there. So now they're up and running. They're all ready to go, and tomorrow they're going. So,
why would you book who? I don't know why Juan's saying fuck him. Why would you book him?
I have no idea. He goes, no, not him. I don't know, man.
The murderer. Maybe the murderer.
Who's the murderer?
No idea. He posted the murderer. Then he posted, fuck him. How would you book him?
Mike Vick?
I don't know who the fuck.
Oh, I'm just trying to pull
my... Why would we be booking Mike Vick on a wrestling
Ray
show?
Ray Lewis?
On a wrestling show?
No, I'm just thinking of murderers.
Oh, okay.
OJ?
The guy that
Casey
killed
Anthony?
Michael Jackson? The guy, the doctor killed Michael Jackson?
Conrad Murray?
Yeah.
Invader 1, he's saying? Dude, I don't even know what any of this shit means. So anyway, that's what it is. Said your boy Vince Young sliding from WWC. Juan watches all these companies I've never fucking seen in my life. And he's like, oh, fuck that guy. I don't even know who you're talking about, man. So anyway, what do we do here? Went to Raw, went to SmackDown as fast as I possibly could. Did that. Fighting Spirit. Check that out.
Hey, I'll find out a Ring of Honor card. Give me a second.
You got the what?
I'll find out a Ring of Honor card for this weekend.
Oh, is there any Japanese people on it? Because that's what makes it
no,
good.
No, fuck no. Thank God.
Oh.
They're on Philly, so we already took care of that.
God damn it.
Yeah.
God damn it. Can you add a few that you don't know how to pronounce?
No.
Oh, great.
No, thank you.
Pull up the Pro Wrestling NOAH card and then combine it with the Ring of Honor card.
There is, what the fuck? That makes no sense.
Sure does.
Are we going to start invading fucking CZW and...
Yeah, like if there's a one-on-one match, make it a four-way. You know what I mean?
Wait, what the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck? Huh.
You seen that?
No. See what?
Tell Jay. He posted, tell Jay.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to Juan that often.
Fuck him! Fuck him up against the wall! Wear handcuffs on him and crazy through all of this! That's all you do.
That's why.
Alright, so let me get this Ring of Honor card. It's fucking picking.
God help us, Jesus! God and baby Jesus help us!
You got it yet?
It's loading.
Oh.
You're shooting. I mean, that should be like a sound, like, that should be like the sound as soon as you say something that you, like, you're shooting on.
How's that? Like, what do you say, stupid?
You got the fucking
point,
card yet?
This fucking shit is taking forever. So
Jesus!
Okay, so they're in Greensboro, North Carolina this weekend.
Yeah, they are.
And it's actually not, wait a minute, I don't know why, what the fuck? They're saying that the show is the 4th. Why is Adam Cole not on the show on the 3rd? They're running a Sunday show.
Alright.
December 4th. They're running... Oh, wow. Big matches. Some big matches. Alright, so... An 8-man all-star elimination tag match. Special 2-hour time limit. Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, The Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team, Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin, Eddie Edwards and El Generico versus the Briscoes, Roderick Strong and Michael Elgin.
That's Sunday?
This is the Sunday show. I don't see a Saturday show. I don't know why they're saying it's a Saturday. A proving ground match is the World Television Champion Jay Lethal takes on the former CZW Junior Heavyweight Champion, Adam Cole. The Young Bucks take on Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander, two guys that have been really on, like, you know, making some huge strides in wrestling, you know, popping up everywhere. You know, they're North Carolina boys, so, but they, you know, but they've been tearing it up in Ring of Honor. In a special challenge match, the Prodigy Mike Bennett takes on TJ Perkins.
Which should be
a good match. The All Night Express of Rhett Titus and Kenny King versus the Bravado Brothers of Harlem and Lance Bravado. And I think there's a fucking. Wait, they're fucked up. They fucked up badly. They have the 4th. Right? And right below it, it says the 3rd. And then it has Final Battle. So they screwed up the dates. They put the 4th in front of the 3rd. Yes. So that was the Sunday show. But there is a Saturday show. And I don't know why it was... The 4th came before the 3rd.
Is Final Battle on Saturday?
No. They have a Southern... It's called Southern Defiance. It's in Spartansburg, South Carolina. And they have Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin versus Roderick Strong and Michael Elgin. First time in Ring of Honor, Eddie Edwards versus El Generico. And a really good match that I kind of want to see is Jay Lethal versus TJ Perkins. The Young Bucks versus the All Night Express. the Briscoes versus Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander, the Prodigy Mike Bennett versus Adam Cole, and a 20-man over-the-top battle royal for a guaranteed title shot at the Ring of Honor World title sometime in early 2012. So that's Ring of Honor.
All right. Well, Nathjigsaw asked me earlier, who's the hottest chick in CZW? And, I mean, I said Mia just because, you know, I think she's an attractive chick, and, you know, it's also attractive she's actually a wrestler and works hard and that type of thing, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I would go with her as pretty easy. I mean, then he said, Mia's not hot. So, my question to Not Jigsaw LOL is, well, who's your pick? Go ahead and post that up. Juan is going with Mia as well. And I'm pretty sure that most would. I mean, it's, you know, and again, to me, it's not a big looks contest as far as chicks in wrestling go, because I'd much rather see them, you know, out there busting their ass, such as what Mia Yim does. And, you know, she just went out there, I think it was last week, and wrestled Mickey Knuckles. And I'm sure that was a fucking phenomenal match.
That was last
really
week.
Hard-hitting chicks. And, that's the type of women's wrestling I like. But, you know, either way, I mean, obviously, if you're a man, you're going to look. So, I mean, if you're asking me the question, I'll answer. But, you know, there's a lot of chicks that are just straight eye candy, you know, WWE, TNA, all that stuff. And they're really not, you know, they're not built to actually wrestle. Well, now he's telling me that Lefisto was sexy. But, I mean, I could swear you're talking about current CZW, you know? Okay, but, yeah. Yeah,
and please don't
again.
Tell me you're telling. Please don't say Kimberly either, because no.
I don't know, man. I don't. You know, I don't have a problem with any of them really, but there's not like a tremendous women's division in CZW, so it's just kind of a crazy question. That's why, you know, I took it the way it was and went at it
Juan,
or whatever. But
Juan saying she yummy.
Yeah, Juan, she yummy, he says. Yeah, so, I don't know, man. It's whatever. But, Luffy can get got, Juan says. Between your Japanese pronouncements and fucking, pronunciation and, Juan's typing. Jesus Christ. Some of the funniest shit I've ever heard or read. Like, if I could put that together into a wrestling card, I'd never stop watching. Not Jigsaw just said, Kimberly isn't super hot, but I like her yelling. Well, I'm glad that helps. Well, I guess we'll start promoting that show, and, speaking of you liking her yelling, let me play the promo as the Runaways cut for Blackout. I guess the Blackout, 2 out of 3 tables match going in on a Blackout. And here's what the Runaways had to say.
You think you had the up on us the last couple months? You saw what happened out there! We put Robbie through a table! You think that's not gonna happen again?
Christy Rivera! Heard that! Ronda Marino!
I hope you're dying right now.
You see what happens when you meddle into our business? We'll put you down for good. King of Death is just around the corner.
You want to call us out? Ruckus! You want a 2 out of 3 false table? You know what, Chrissy? You want to kick me in my face? You want to kick me in my face?
Let's skip the bullshit right now. There's no mystery opponent.
We want Chrissy! Chrissy! We want you in the ring! I'm gonna break you in half this time, and you're never coming back!
Kimberly is gonna debut here in CZW. She's our partner for Cage of Death. Christina, you better limp your little ass on in there.
And if your little midget bitch self thinks that you have any chance against me, you're wrong! And I'm gonna take your fucking face off!
The Runaways start this fight! The Runaways will finish this fight at Cage of Death.
Yeah, that's what the deal is. That's the whole thing. They're going with it's a mixed tag, more or less. Let me see what stance I am at. Yeah, man, it's, you know, 3-on-3, and you got Joe Gacy, Ryan Slater, and Kimberly taking on the Blackout of Alex Colon, Ruckus, and Chrissy Rivera. So, 2 out of 3 tables.
I'm assuming that could be opener.
I don't know, man. You never know. You never know. We'll see what happens with that. I thought it was a good promo. I think these guys are working a pretty good program together, you know, and strangely enough, and it's, you know, one of the only things that they actually built an angle towards. So I don't really know what the reasoning for that is, but either way, I think they're doing a pretty good job. I think going into Cage of Death, they definitely need angles. They definitely need you know, something to go with. All right, another match I'd like to talk about. I'm not going to do this in any chronological order this week. I'm just going to go at it. Something else. Just let me hold on till Stan. Yeah. All right. Stan's probably going to join us for our NFL talk. But either way. Another match. Another guy who fucking Teddy Hart no-showed us this tonight. Rory Mondo. And that guy, you know, he's supposed to call in around 10. It's like, I don't know. All of a sudden people lost their fucking watches or, you know, whatever, their minds or, I don't know, man. You know? People agree to do shit that they decide not to in, you know, whatever. So, here's the deal. Obviously, they've gone back and forth, and they've done the whole thing with, Drake and Little Mondo and the thing that happened in Japan and all that stuff. And, well, after we played the promo last week of Drake, and he, you know, everybody heard that, the long promo we played down the end stretch, Little Mondo cut this promo.
Respect. The month of October, Rory Mondo had the opportunity of a lifetime. Deathmatch Final Series, 30 days in Japan, I survived. One thing I learned about this business, you only got yourself. You might think people have your back, but you only got yourself. Please be to you, Drake Younger. When you first came to CZW, real humble guy. Bled black and yellow. Hell, I even looked up to you myself. But now, I don't know if you're high out of your mind or your head that far up your ass. What kind of humble person backstabs their friends? Golden Boy, right? You were the tournament at that champion. You were the longest reigning CZW heavyweight champion. You have one tour, Big Japan Pro Wrestling. The way I see it, Drake, your time's over. You had your run, and now you're just a washed up, bitter vet who wants one more go. Now it's Rory Mondo's time. And I hope all this little talking you've been doing picked up presents for your little girl, because Stan ain't coming home this year. On December 3rd, live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, internet pay-per-view, your fans around the entire world can watch as my feet crush your skull. And the one thing you will realize, Drake, is what respect is all about. Follow me if I advance. Kill me if I retreat.
revenge me if I die.
Yeah, so that's what Little Mondo had to respond to Drake. And, you know, I happened to throw in there that, you know, his daughter isn't going to get a Santa this year and all that type of stuff. I don't know, dude. I don't get it. Yeah. Brent's saying there was no cameras here. Probably why he lost track of time. Maybe. Maybe possibly. But anyway, apparently Drake didn't take too kindly to those fucking words and decided that he wasn't going to cut another long promo, but he had to cut another 15 seconds to just respond to what was said and how he feels, even though he already said that he was going to kill him and he was going to do this and this and this. Drake had to more or less add a little bit to it. And here's this quick one.
We'll make this short and sweet. This was about business and teaching you a lesson. But then you brought up my family. Rory, I'm gonna fuck you up. And I'm gonna hurt you. I'm gonna see you on Saturday, you little bitch.
Yeah. That's an angry Drake Younger right there, and you know, I don't envy Rory come Saturday. Just don't. I don't know. You know, I mean, that was a good 15 seconds that he threw out there, and it's just some shit that I mean, Rory's going to have to deal with this shit come Saturday. I think that there's a lot of shoot to this. You know, I know obviously, you know, in the wrestling business, there's always a certain amount of work. And that's cool. It's expected and all of that. I kind of think there is a lot of personal feeling here. And I mean, you catch those two guys on the street and actually wanting to fight each other. And show me a guy who says that Rory's winning that fight. And, you know, I'll take the bet. I'll take the bet all day. But I don't know, man. I think this is a dangerous fucking place for Rory to be at right now. And I guess I'll see come Saturday. But, I mean, honestly, the classic move for how angry Drake seems to be and how much of a reality there seems to be around this type of thing, I would be surprised if Rory showed up. You know, and I don't know him as a guy that's the type to back down or any of that stuff. I'm not saying, oh, you know, he's a pussy, he's just going to back down. I don't know him as that. I would never say that, you know, that's probably what's going to happen. But when you see a guy who's as accomplished as Drake and as known as a badass as Drake and as young and early in the business as Little Mondo is, it would just surprise me very much so for him to just clearly walk right into the fucking lion's den and just expect it to turn out well. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping to see that happen, and hopefully, you know, Little Mondo will gain some respect out of it, you know, and go out there and do what he thinks he's going to do, or, you know, go out there and take a beating like a man, or whatever the case is. However the turnout is, he shows up, and he faces the fucking music, then there's a certain amount of respect that you gain right there. So that's more or less what it comes down to. Seeing some stuff in the chat. Not Jigsaw was saying Drake's shoot was amazing. You watched it the other day. I agree. I watched both parts of his shoot, part two, part three. I was very happy. I also got a shout out. I got a name drop in the part three of Drake's shoot. I was pretty happy with that. I never got name dropped in a wrestler shoot interview before, so that's pretty sweet. But yeah.
What did he say? What did he say?
Well, they just got like towards the end where you know, they were doing the word recognition and all that stuff. Word association recognition. You know, that thing. And you know, they just hit the part where they asked him about fans. And, you know, asshole fans and stuff like that. And he said, you know, Jake Atts an asshole. No. He said, you know, for every, you know, asshole fan, douchebag fan you get out there, you get, you know, awesome fans like J-Cat, like Nina. Like, we were the first two names to fucking come out of his mouth. And then he obviously mentioned a few more fans and stuff by name and stuff. But it was just cool as shit to me. Like, I even right after they had actually recorded that and the DVD wasn't even close to out, I was talking to Drake after the one show. And I was like, oh, you know, how'd the shoot go, dude? You know, I heard you recorded a shoot. He's like, oh, it went good, man. I gave you a name drop, man. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. So for months going up to it, I was like, really excited and shit because I've never been name dropped on a fucking shoot interview before. It's just, you know, there you go. Yeah, he said, for every hater, there's 10 good fans and name drop some good ones. Yeah, I was me and the girl were the first two names. I was just happy to see that. That's cool. I mean, I've always been hugely supportive of Drake, you know, and it came to the point where we're actually, you know, on a friend level, you know, and it's cool, man. I like, you know, when I'm able to support somebody like that and they have such high appreciation of it and, you know, just turn into just good people you could talk to just, like, real life shit about. So it's cool, man. I got much, much love for Drake, so. Saturday is going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. That's what it is. What else do I got? Oh, fuck. Another match. I mean, you just... Philly's Most Wanted for a long time now. They've been calling out. They want the best. They want the best. They want this guy. They want that guy. They've been striving for all the top competition, all the you know, these top teams. They want Homicide. They want Low Key. They want Eddie Kingston. They want Ricky Reyes. They want this and that. And which within a CZW world, it sounds ridiculous because Ricky Reyes has been a low card guy like every fucking time he showed up there. And obviously the other three are fucking main eventers, but it's okay. Well, challenge finally answered. As of last month, Homicide interfered and cost Philly's Most Wanted their tag straps to Azrael and Bandito Jr. And you got Philly's Most Wanted taking on the notorious 187 Homicide and the King of Diamonds, Eddie Kingston. And, man, that's it. Finally, Philly's Most Wanted has got their wish, and I think that match is going to be off the fucking chain. I think they're going to tear it up. Yeah, I know you like Ricky Juan. That's cool. I know you train with him and all this nonsense. It's cool. It's cool. I'm very proud of you. So, anyway, I think that's going to be a great match. It's going to tear it up, and it's what it is, man.
Kingston's return to CZW?
Yeah. You got DJ Hyde versus Greg Excellent. And then also have Brother versus Brother, CZW Wire TV title on the line. Jake Crist defending against his brother, Dave Crist. And that match is going to be fucking awesome. I'm telling you. Those fucking guys are hugely, hugely talented fucking wrestlers. I think Irish Airborne should have had a good fucking run in CZW before they did this. But if you want a good fucking one-on-one match with a lot of chemistry and shit like that, Dave Crist versus Jake Crist, I don't think that's going to upset. I really don't. What are you doing over there? A lot of wrestling. I'm not going to start that.
You there?
Yeah. Yeah, you're making a lot of noise. That's why I was asking you what the fucking deal was. So anyway, there's that, man. I think that's going to be a great fucking match. You keep wrestling with the phone, dude.
I'm trying to move the phone.
So then you got a six-man scramble for the number one contender for the CZW World Heavyweight title. Drew Gulak, 13. Dude, seriously? Drew
Sorry
Gulak, 13. Ryan McBride, Derek Frazier, Alex Payne, and Dustin Reyes in a six-way. Honestly, the only one who could even be taken seriously as a main eventer is Drew Gulak. So it's the obvious chance, it's obvious choice, it's the obvious person who you would pick. 13 has never, you know, taken shape as an actual credible name guy. I mean, he's, you know, he's been a supporting player in several different teams, from, you know, Cult Fiction to, you know, now the Nation of Intoxication, but he's not viewed as one of the main eventers in that company. You know, in that company, even within his own stable. I mean, you got Scotty, Devin, and Danny Havoc. Obviously, you know, without, you know, just trashing the guy, because, you know, I do like 13, but he's easily the lowest guy on that totem pole. So he's getting a number one contender match. Ryan McBride, he hasn't had a consistent push. He hasn't had a consistent good look since the Irish Drive-By. You know, Irish Drive-By was the last time that guy actually had, like, a legitimate, like, he had to keep up with Rich Swann. So he had some shit to do. You know, it doesn't make any sense. He lost the, I think it was, like, a number one contender for the junior title just recently.
Did Air
against
Fox.
Air Fox.
What's happening with him is they don't care about tag team wrestling. They don't care about tag team wrestling. That's why they don't do anything with him. You know what I mean? They could easily put him in a tag team.
Yeah, but, I mean, well, that speaks volumes for the guy as a singles wrestler. I mean, if the best that you could tell me about that wrestler as well, they could put him in a tag team. I mean, they're trying to push him as a singles wrestler, apparently, but not even, like, legitimately, because they're not fucking putting him over. They just, you know, had him lose a number one contender for the junior title. Now he has a heavyweight title fucking number one contender. What is that?
Well,
that doesn't make any goddamn sense.
That's their way of saying you can be on the card, but, you know, we're going to give you this.
Well, you can be on the card is we give you a low card match against such and such, not... You
well, they
the
needed
title.
They needed spots to fill. You know what I mean? And I can understand
that. Fuck,
like,
that. No. Then you make it fucking less people. Honestly, the whole match doesn't make any fucking sense.
Okay,
well,
hey, that's your
you
that's DJ. That's DJ for you.
If you want to give Drew Gulak a number one fucking contender spot, give him another way to earn it. Not against a bunch of other guys who never fucking earned anything. You know, gimmick wise, fucking storyline wise, they never earned a goddamn thing to get them near the world title at all. Nothing.
And
one
honestly,
of those fucking...
Like, that's the problem with CZW, though. There's no fucking build to anything, it seems. We said this numerous times.
Derek Frazier, next up. He fucking, you know, he came back, teamed up with McBride, fucking turned on him the same match, called out fucking Drew Blood. They mumbled some shit about a no-rope barbed wire. And then I think he interfered again last month or something. Zero wins under his belt on a return. And he has a fucking number one contender for the world title fucking match. Okay, that's garbage. Fucking Alex Payne. Okay. This fucking guy got subbed in for like a third member of the Runaways to go against Blackout when they had Rich Swann back for 1 month. He lost. The last match before that, I think, was a fucking dark match.
Against Latin Dragon.
Right? It was like a fucking dark
too.
Match.
He lost
and
that
he lost
too.
That shit too. So now he has a number one contender spot for the fucking world heavyweight title. And his fucking promos are fucking sickening to me. He keeps doing that snorting thing like the fucking Ultimate Warrior used to do. And he weighs like 125 pounds. Like, he's not like a scary guy whatsoever. And he keeps trying to like play off like he's a horror figure, like he's scary. He does this snort thing. And, you know, I mean, I might as well bring it. He was also on a radio show the other night. And they pretty much, you know, it was something about a round table and something else. And, he was on there, and they were pretty much bashing CZW while trying to kind of promote it. And they were more or less saying, like, yeah, well, I watched CZW a while ago, and it was just a bunch of fucking hardcore bullshit, you know, and I'm fucking just too much
hardcore. So, like, is it still like that? And then this dude's pretty much going, no, not every show has that shit on it. Like, Night of Infamy didn't have any of those matches on it. Like, it was just wrestling. Like, just, you know, the only ones that really have a whole lot of that shit is Tournament of Death and this and that. And it was like, well, I see how you're pandering to this nerd that doesn't like deathmatch wrestling, but in the same token, CZW is fucking the best in deathmatch wrestling.
Right.
Now,
on the East Coast.
Well, overall, fucking in the country, like, IWA Mid-South, they put on a tremendous amount of deathmatch wrestling that was probably, you know, definitely one of the fucking best in the country, no question about it. I still liked CZW's Tournament of Death better than I ever liked King of the Deathmatch. I'm all for all deathmatch wrestling, all wrestling. Just put out as much of everything you can, and I'll try to find the best of it as I see it. It's, you know, I'm not hating on one product or one company or anything like that, but CZW has been my overall favorite all-around product. So that was that. But see, like, the way he went about it was like, these nerds don't like hardcore, so I'm going to, like, kind of say, well, we don't always do that bullshit. It's only some shows that we highlight that garbage, but no, we wrestle, and that's what I'm a wrestler, and that's all I care about. Now, well, listen, you know, I've always been a huge defender about people that say, oh, the whole show is just nothing but light tubes and fucking this and da-da-da-da-da. I'd say, well, listen, you know, first off, light tubes haven't been in Philly in fucking how long? Besides the fact, because I've heard other people specifically say that all CZW is light tubes. No, Tony. So, but besides that, CZW, even in the day of Zandig, no rope barbed wire, fucking tendon hanging out of his arm, that shit, you know, the first Night of Infamy. And let's not forget, when we point out that Night of Infamy had no death matches on it, because that shit isn't in every one of our shows. Night of Infamy was built off of fucking deathmatch wrestling. Night of Infamy won with fucking Whitebeater versus Zandig, fucking Whitebeater retirement match. We're really so proud that the last show didn't have any of that shit on it. Oh, that's a plus, buddy? Is it? Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. So anyway, little ROH guy. So, the problem I have with this, and the problem I have with that whole aspect, I understand that there's got to be, you know, people who like the company for other reasons than hardcore and death matches, and I do as well. But instead of referring to the death match wrestling as shit and going, yeah, I don't, you know, it's whatever, but, you know, other, even the death match wrestlers call it shit, is how he responded to me. When I said, you know, it's kind of fucked up how you gotta, like, refer to it as shit. Well, even the deathmatch wrestlers call it shit. I'm like, eh, I don't know about all that. So, you know, back in the day, CZW made its name off of deathmatch wrestling. That was the thing that drew the most attention towards CZW. It was the thing that had everybody fucking talking. It was the thing that had everybody fucking really, you know, paying attention. And then once they paid attention and they were wrestling fans and they realized you have fucking guys like Trent Acid, the best fucking, one of the best fucking workers on the indies, period. And he was a straight fucking wrestler. Then you look and like, wow, look at this fucking guy Ruckus doing unbelievable fucking innovative, high-flying shit. Yeah, Justice Payne doing a lot of things. Some people liked him, some people didn't. Either way, I mean, you had so many people doing so many different things. Back 2001, when I fucking started going, you had the Amazing Red, the SATs, the Briscoe Brothers. I mean, these were all in their fucking early days, too. And they were just tearing it the fuck up. You had Reckless Youth. You had all, like, so many people on these fucking cards that Quiet Storm, fucking, they brought in Fujita. They brought in, like, CZW is not, I'm so tired of people fucking acting like DJ has turned this into a wrestling company, because it never was. It was all about deathmatch wrestling, and Zandig gave it a bad image, and blah, 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 blah. Fuck that shit. The company wouldn't fucking be here if it wasn't for the fucking foundation of this company, I don't think anyone who's actually involved in the company would disagree with that fact. And the problem is this is the fucking the spin that people choose to put on it. When they're hired by a guy like DJ, that's his business, but there's a good possibility that an Alex Payne would have never stepped into a fucking CZW locker room with Zandig at the fucking helm. There's a good chance. Good chance. There's a good chance that, you know, we're getting around the locker room of a guy going out and trying to promote the show as well as calling hardcore wrestling shit wouldn't go over so well in the locker room with a guy like Nick Gage if someone whispered in his ear that that's what was said by an Alex.
Huh.
So, I mean, just to put out there what the fuck CZW is, was, and fucking is in the future. And that's, you know, I don't have a fucking problem with the way DJ runs the company. I have, you know, some problems with booking here and there. I give DJ a lot of credit for a lot of things that he's done. But there are some fucking guys who stepped in this company since he's been there, and they just don't fucking get it. And they go out on the radio, and they pander to these fucking nerds that don't know shit about CZW, don't give a shit about CZW. And yeah, maybe you crack the fucking smile to this douchebag radio nerd's fucking face real quick because he's like, oh, that guy just told me something I like to hear. Like, get the fuck out of here. You know? Cage of Death is Cage of Death. So you're promoting Cage of Death. What's the fucking main event? Is that a fucking, fucking Iron Man match submission only? No, it isn't, Alex. No, it isn't. And if you won the fucking number one contender for the fucking world title, guess what kind of matches you'd end up in? So, probably some of that shit. So sorry, dude. It just rubbed me the wrong way, you know? And it's not that I severely dislike this guy, but I hate people putting the fucking company out in that type of aspect and putting that type of spin on shit. And again, I'm not just a fucking blood mark. I mean, right now, you look at the fucking company and you look at some shit, and we'll get into that match in a second, but you got Sami Callihan. This guy is one of the fucking hottest commodities in the business. He's more fucking seeked out by wrestling companies than most out there. Another guy, A.R. Fox, who he's squaring off with. You got fucking Joker and the Black G's. You got Homicide and Eddie Kingston coming in. Yeah, I mean, a tremendous amount of fucking talent in this company. You know, the young guys, Alex Colon, fucking... dude, it's just unbelievable to hear some of the dumb shit. Robert Anthony, fucking... I mean, you go up and down, you know, Drew Gulak, fucking tremendous wrestler. Dave Chris. It doesn't make any goddamn sense to go out of your way to make sure that people know that it's not just about... Anybody that fucking pays attention will know what the deal is. Just get them to pay attention. And don't fucking lie to their face and just be a douche about fucking hardcore wrestling. It's stupid. So, that's, you know... It's your call, whatever. Oh, and the last guy in that match is... I was actually talking about a match. The last guy in that match is Dustin Reyes. Again, very talented guy. He went in there. He lost a wired title match against Jay Chris. Where does that win you a fucking a shot for the number one contender for the world title? I'm lost. Completely lost on what that, how that happens. Don't get it. So, yeah. Another match, as I previously mentioned, you got Sami Callihan with his second junior heavyweight title defense of the day. And he puts it up this time against A.R. Fox. So, I mean, that's just going to tear the fucking roof off. And I think everybody should be very, very happy with that. Well, next matchup is a deathmatch trial. Ultraviolent Pits, or as Alex Payne calls it, shit match. And that would be the deathmatch drunker, Danny Havoc, taking on the bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And, well, figure I'll let you guys hear what Tremont has to say about that. And you see the amount of passion this fucking guy, you know,
That's what it is. Check this shit out.
CZW, Bulldozer Matt Tremont, is back home. He's back in his roots. He's back in the streets of Atlantic City, New Jersey, training. Because today is Monday. And just a few short days from now, on the grandest stage of them all, on the biggest independent show of the year, Bulldozer Matt Tremont goes one-on-one with the Deathmatch Trunket himself, Danny Havoc. Somebody I've looked up to for a long time. It all comes full circle. We met in February. You dropped me on my head in Indiana. Now I got you one-on-one inside the squared circle at the grandest stage of them all. The biggest show of the year, streamed all across the world on iPay-per-view. I'm going to give you everything I have, Danny Havoc, because there's nothing more in this world right now that means to me than this trial series. Deathmatch Wrestling is what put me on the map, and it's why I'm here. Cage of Death, you're going to find out why for the last 6 months I've been saying to be the best, you've got to stomp the rest. And Danny Havoc, you are one of those best. I have to beat you at the biggest show of the year. I have to defeat you at Cage of Death. To be the best, you've got to stomp the rest. Tremont's coming. Don't matter what the stip is, we're going to tear that fucking house down on the grandest stage of them all. 1,000 people on the other side of the guardrail, chanting Tremont, chanting Bulldozer. I'm going to give you everything I have, Danny Havoc, because for my entire life, at 22 years old, I've been waiting for this. You can't do nothing to beat me. I'm more hungry than you. I'm Danny Havoc from 2005. I'm more hungry than you, Danny. You're going to have to kill me to beat me in the middle of that black and yellow ring. Because everybody knows I'll bleed black and yellow to the fullest, and I'll die in that ring. Cage of Death, Tremont comes out. You're going to see why they call me the Bulldozer. To be the best, you got to stomp the rest. Danny Havoc, I'm coming for you, brother. Let's dance at the biggest stage of them all. Who wants some now?
Awesome promo.
Yeah, it really is. And you can see the fucking passion in that guy. You can see why the fuck what he comes to do. And you know what I mean? Not Jigsaw saying he's like Eddie Kingston meets Bam Bam Bigelow. And I think that's an awesome fucking... awesome comparison. Holy shit, that's a great comparison. But yeah, man, that's going to be a tremendous fucking match. Just fucking tremendous. And just
I'm looking forward
really,
to
really big shit. Super fucking hardcore. Two of the craziest motherfuckers and a young, hungry fucking Bulldozer. Cage of fucking Death. This fucking guy couldn't be more fucking happy to be there, and that's what it is. So, another match you got, special Japan 8-man tag match. You got Jackie Numazawa, Sasaki Yoshido, Tanaka Shi and Kamui versus Ryuji Ito, Takashi Sasaki, Kengo Mashimo, and Dan Shokodino. So you got that stuff. Now, if anybody hasn't noticed, there's one name not mentioned in there. Yeah, I think you guys know what monkey that is. That's the one and only crazy monkey. And I have a feeling we're going to see this guy somewhere else on the card. Where, I don't know, because again, I'm not the booker. That I think the fans would pop tremendously if they put him into another situation. You know, we can only hope. Then you have your main event. The thing they named the show after, Cage of Death, the 13th Cage of Death. You have, for the CZW World Heavyweight Championship, the notorious Devin Moore defending against Masada, Scotty Vortex, and the Ego, Robert Anthony, in a four-way dance. And I think we have some pretty crazy shit to look forward to. If all the previous Cage of Deaths speak anything for what this is going to be, you guys better get ready. Those of you who haven't seen a Cage of Death, my dude Stan, who is going out there, for the first time ever and going to see his first CZW show. What a better fucking show to see than Cage of Death. And I'm very excited to see. I'm always excited to see reactions of new fans that, you know, like point towards this company and stuff and, you know, to see, you know, what their overall feelings are. You know, I have obviously my concrete feelings about this company, and I will continue to put it over, you know, no matter how many of the wrestlers randomly no-show me on one night. But it's a very rare thing. You can go down that list of that card, and I've had the majority of them on this show, and we'll continue to do so. I definitely have some big plans for a few guys, and we'll continue with that next week and the week after, and, you know, we'll do a couple really big things. So, yeah, man. Well, that's the Cage of Death, for Christ's sakes. I think that's all the promos I have for Cage of Death. I only pulled those ones because those are the favorite ones of mine.
Those are some good ones, I'm telling you right now. There's some matches, you know, real quick. I just want to go down some of those matches.
Okay.
Sammy Callahan is wrestling somebody on the...
Who's he wrestling,
no,
Eric?
I don't even know.
On the early show, who's he wrestling? What's that
Sasaki.
Guy's name?
I'm going to say it's Sasaki.
Oh, there's two of them on this show.
Fuck. It's one of them. Fuck it. Both of them. We're going to have a triple threat. Well, anyway, A.R. Fox could be wrestling one of the Sasakis because that match is for the CZW Junior Weight Championship. So, and, yeah.
One of the Sasakis, right?
Yes, yes. Maybe both of them. They can fucking hold the belts together.
Too funny.
Just
too funny.
I'm really looking forward to Dave and Jake. I could really see that being like a Cheech versus Cloudy type match from, I believe that was Cage of Death 7.
Well, it's possible. I do believe that Jake and Dave are more talented than Cheech and Cloudy. No knock on Cheech and Cloudy, but I'd say they're better. But go ahead.
Well, I could see them opening and having a fucking awesome match and kicking off the show. But like I said,
did you just say the Blackout and
Runaways were open? I totally forgot about Dave and Jake, and I was like, well, hey, Ruckus and Alex can fucking, and that whole tag, six-man tag could be second. That way Ruckus can wrestle, and you know how he is. He likes to leave early. Let's be real with each other. Come on. He's always booked
Jesus.
Fucking early on cards. Let's be honest.
What else do you want
to... Well, that and I'm excited for Tremont and Danny Havoc. I'm excited for Kingston and Homicide versus Philly's Most Wanted because they all have good chemistry with each other. Kingston's worked with Sabian. He's worked with Joker. You know what I mean? I want to know what the hell they're going to do with this Greg Excellent versus DJ Hyde match. What kind of stipulation they're going to do to make it actually interesting.
I haven't put any thought in the world to it.
I would like to see like a get hit with shit match. You know, one of those famous DJ, matches that he likes to do. I think that would be cool if they did a get hit with shit match.
I think that they should just have that match during intermission.
No. Not that type of shit either. I'm talking about like dog shit. Like fans can throw dog shit in the ring and hit the wrestlers.
Well,
I wasn't talking about that match, you know, with like the fucking bats and shit. No, I'm talking about fucking getting hit with shit because, let's be honest. They're both shit. So, hey.
That's all you're looking forward to? That was
I mean, the whole show is I'm looking forward to just, you know, we already went down most of the card, but I mean, all the card, the main event is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Sammy, you know, hopefully beats Sasaki, and him and A.R. Fox actually have wrestled a few times in multi-mans and, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, I think it's the first time ever in singles. No, I don't think so. Now that I think about it, no. Did they wrestle in Force One?
Not positive on that. I don't think so, but it's always possible. Not really sure. But either way. But I saw the fucking Muppets last weekend. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm supposed to go see that tomorrow. So.
Fucking awesome. I'm a Muppet Mark. I'm a manly Muppet. I'm a Muppet of a man. For those who have watched the movie, I'm a fucking Muppet Mark. So yeah, that's a great fucking movie. If you like the Muppets, go see that fucking movie. All right, see that shit twice. So
three times.
I only seen it once, so I'm not gonna push people to three times. You know, just outdo me by one. It's all good. So yeah. There's that. I think I'm gonna play this song I got here. It's if you remember back in the day when we did the Charlie Sheen joint, and he did the had the one kid, I think his name is Mac Legal, and he did like a real fast rap on the whole Charlie Sheen thing. Well, this one, he's in the kitchen cooking pancakes and doing a Look at Me Now kind of parody, kind of just still killing it on the fucking mic. So I figure I'll play this because, you know, it's kind of a combination of funny and unbelievable because this dude's lyric skills are crazy. Like, he's crazy. But then when we come back, we're going to get into the NFL with a special guest as well. Special to us, you guys, you know. He's fam. All right, get at us.
Yo, yellow cheese, eggs, white pancake batter. Put a little bit up on the filler when it starts to bubble, flip it over with your spatula. Yeah, yeah, that shit look like my breakfast. I gotta remember to flip the motherfucker over after cooking it for 30 seconds. Ladies love me, I got my OJ. Everybody said to do another fast rap to the feet, so I said okay. But I'ma speed it up real, real, real fast, and the whole damn bottle is gone. And I'm challenging Busta, Watsky, and Twista, and any of you rap kids, follow along, come on. Cook with me now, cook with me now, I'm making pancakes. Cook with me now, cook with me now, fresher than a motherfucker. Chris Brown broke up with Rihanna's, always looking for another silly idiotic girl that he can beat up. I wish that he was man enough to get inside the octagon. I'm kicking him in the noggin like I'm Leo the Machida. Front kick to the face, just by throwing my feet up. Winking at Rihanna, baby, be showing you D-cups. I'm giving it to the man, the cake is right to the pan. Your fate is imminent, I'm in the minute. She got the reefer smoke to re-up. It's done. That's done. That cake is done. Let's go. Gotta butter rub another one to put it on. It's in a couple minutes. L's done, done. Ain't nobody fucking with this kid. So they'll Jerry Sandusky. I'm gonna get him with a stun gun. Come, come, get it, get it, get it, get it. Crumb hit his bitter with a fit of venom when I split the drum. Take another visit in a minute where the menace of society is in the gutter. Defeat a beat of your Danny DeVito when I belittle. Literally, it'll better you. Battling anybody with a better you ahead of you. Like bitter, batter, batter. I'ma hit you with an automobile battery. Bada bing, bada, bada, boom, boom. I'm the king, better got a clue. Get offended when I'm sentimental and I spit at you. I'm scared about my rhythm and dope. Much better. These rappers think they're animals. Nope, it's Chuck Tester. Gotta get up. The economy's a little brutal to me. The dichotomy ain't suitable. I gotta go to Pluto for a little bit. The comedy is something beautiful. There's nothing beautiful about this world. I'm gonna pucker up my lips to barf. Gonna choke a fucking rapper in his hipster scarf. I'm never gonna put another piece of music out deliberately if it isn't genuine. It grips the heart. Winter's hard, so have some pancakes made by me, motherfucker. The Chael Sonnen of rap music. Enjoy your breakfast, Mac Lethal, bitch.
Yeah, that's Mac Lethal shit. Yeah, he's a funny dude, and he can rip the mic too. So Well, I got on hold right now, and I'm going to bring Stan on. Stan.
What's up, Jay?
What's hey, up, what's going on?
What's up, Eric? How are you?
Good.
Cool. I figure I'd bring you on and, make you part of our NFL thing this week. You know, you're a well-versed football fan. I'll see why not. Eric likes it when I play this music, so I'll do that real quick. You know, gotta do it official like. Like the big stage, you know? Okay, whatever. Well, first game up, I think you guys already fucking packed in that loss, didn't you? Is that over yet?
Fuck that shit. I don't even know. I stopped following that shit.
It's 31-14 in the fourth.
It was like 20. Oh, fucking bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know who you had going in, Stan. Philly was favored by 2.5. I picked Philly, and so did Eric, and it's a damn shame because they're getting the shit kicked out of them.
I mean, it sounds like a homer pick now or whatnot, but I did like Seattle just because Philly going out west and both teams really have nothing to play for, so I did like Seattle going into it.
Take your word for it, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you can come down to a tiebreaker, I'm not believing you anymore.
That's fine.
all right, so first actual game up that's not already getting fucking hammered is Tennessee's taking on Buffalo, with Buffalo favored by 1.5, and whichever one you want to start first, who you got? Eric?
I got Buffalo.
All right. Stan?
All right, well, see, Eric, in the last couple of weeks that I've been listening, has definitely been having different themes or different reasons for picking them. He went from some injury list, and then he was going with what team that he liked, that he had better picks from. You know,
right.
I'm 3-0 when I pick this team, and they play on a Tuesday afternoon. They have practice real well, and that kind of stuff. So I'm just going to go off the top of my head with a little word association. First thing I think of with Tennessee is twangy music versus Buffalo wings, and I got to go with Buffalo wings all day, so I'll take Buffalo.
Nice. Yeah, I go with Buffalo as well. Might I add, whatever Eric's fucking technique was last week, turned out, I believe, what was it, three
four.
Wins?
Four
wins.
Wins.
A big four wins off of that technique. So we're going to switch it up.
What'd
this
you
week,
have,
right,
nine?
Eric?
You had nine.
I had 10. It, you know, I think you're doing okay. So anyway, we all got Buffalo on that game, bottom line. Next up, we got the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Chicago Bears, with the Bears at home favored by 8.5 points. I'll start it off, and I'm going with Chicago.
What do you got, Stan?
All right, well, you got smoked barbecue deep dish pizza. Then you got no quarterback versus no quarterback. So I'm going to have to go with that. You can put a lot more on deep dish pizza than you can on any kind of smoked barbecue. So we'll go with Chicago there.
See, you're going to go with the team. You're going to go with the team that has no quarterback over a team that has no quarterback.
Neither team has a quarterback. Yeah.
Right. Right. I'm going with Kansas City.
All right. Well, next up we got the Atlanta Falcons taking on the Houston Texans, and Atlanta's favored by 2.5. What do you got, Eric?
Atlanta.
All right.
Well, Atlanta, you got – I'm sorry, Jay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Atlanta, you got two women to every man in that city, which is always a good thing.
Right.
Houston, basically you go down to that old saying, steers and queers, and they're only in Texas. And apparently in Texas you have no quarterbacks because they're down to the third-string guy, T.J. Yates, who I think is undercarding at the Cage of Death also on Sunday, Saturday night. So I'm going to have to go with Atlanta.
Good. Got the guy from the dark match going down. I got Atlanta as well. Good stuff. Next up, we got the Denver Tebows taking on the Minnesota Vikings, with the Vikings favored by 0.5. And one quick question. If Tebow is such a Bible banger, and then there's like the God hates fags people, where do they stand on Tim Tebow?
All I know is ESPN ripped him a new one the other day.
Well, I mean, when the guy's crying over, like, speculation, I don't know. I kind of got to put him in a bad situation with the God hates fags people. But he's such a Bible banger, I just don't know how that turns out in the wash. So Stan, what's your take on this game?
All right, well, again, Rocky Mountain Oysters versus grilled turkey legs. Grilled turkey legs are delicious, but we are talking about Tim Tebow. And Tebow's going to turn them bull nuts into wine and then part about 1,000 lakes over there in Minnesota. I'm going with Denver.
All right. I'm with Denver as well. What do you got, Eric?
I got Denver.
All right. All T-bowed out on Yakuza Kick Radio. Again, next up, we have the Suck for Luck Indianapolis Colts taking on the New England Patriots. With the Patriots favored by 20.5 points. Shit, anybody you want to jump in?
We're with New England.
All right. And Stan.
20.5 points is like a half point away from 3 touchdowns, which is just an amazing amount for an NFL game. That's like when Tebow played at Florida playing against, like, the Indiana Hoosiers. I'm going to have to go – I'm going to have to say that Indy can keep it somewhat competitive and play a little bit of defense there. Besides that, I can't really think of anything Indy's really known for besides Larry Bird.
And Larry Bird's better than 20.5 points, so I'm going Indy, too, if that's what you're saying. You going with Indy?
Yeah, I'm going with Indy. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm just saying that Larry Bird's better for 20.5 points, if that's where you're going with it.
Yeah, I Larry Bird's the only thing in Indy. Anybody else think of anything from Indy besides Larry Bird? Anything?
Drake Younger.
Oh, okay.
That's a good thing. You'll learn. It's okay. He's very sad this season. My condolences, Drake. Anyway, we got the Cincinnati Bengals taking on Stan's Pittsburgh Steelers, with the Steelers favored by 7.5 points. And, well, let Stan start this one out.
All right, well, see, if I was a betting man, and I'm not, my money, I mean, I would have to lay off the 7.5 points. That is an awful lot, but because this is just for shits and giggles, let's say, I'm going to take the Iron City Beer and the Brats over to Cincinnati Chili, and I think Pittsburgh has a chance to cover it with the 10 points at home.
Okay. Well, played a little more on the betting side of things, even though I won't win anything here. And I go with Cincinnati because of that 7.5 and, you know, the division. You know, I think it could be a pretty close, heated game. Pittsburgh probably come out on top, but I think Cincy's going to put up a fight with Dalton over there. So I go with Cincy. Who you got, Eric?
I got Pittsburgh.
All right.
Has
next
there
up
been
we
another
have...
ginger quarterback that's been any good?
I don't think so. I mean, it's hard because you don't see under the helmet that often. And, you know, they show the pictures and they, you know, do the whole, you know, where they're from and all that nonsense. But, you know, I don't know. Haven't really looked into ginger quarterbacks. Is that what Dalton is?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. He's got a he looks like Opie Taylor all day long.
So he could just rock a black helmet with some, like, see-through spots and it'd still be the same helmet?
No, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Well, a name like Andy I never would have guessed. Next up we have the Carolina Panthers taking on the Tampa Bay Bucks, Stan's backup team if his first team doesn't work out. And the Bucks are favored by 2.5 points at home. I got Carolina over there.
Carolina as well.
You say I have a backup team, and I did live down in Florida for about 4 years, so they are a little bit of a backup team. You should go watch them all the time. But you know what
they
say? You'd rather go to they serve a purpose. Listen, if you can't get the hot girl to go to the dance with you, you're better off go with the fat girl and stay at home and do nothing on a Friday night. So, yeah, Tampa Bay would be my backup team, and this year is a little bit like a fat girl. Tampa Bay is basically a bunch of New Jersey, New York transplants down there. So I'm going to go with all the old Italian hot dogs and take Tampa Bay.
All right. That's one way to put it. Next up we have the New York Football Jets against the Washington Redskins. And the Jets over in Jersey are not in Jersey this week, but, you know, they're favored by 3.5 points. What do you got, Eric?
I got the Jets.
All right. Stan.
All right, well, this one, I got to say, is one of the more interesting games. You got a bunch of fans that are guys that like to dress as women with pig faces. And then you got a coach that looks like a hog who likes looking at guys dressed in dresses so he can see their feet. Definitely going to have to go with the Jets there.
So, wait, you're with the guy. Wait. Okay. All right. Just mark that down as the Jets. Next up, we have the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Cleveland Browns, with the Baltimore Ravens favored by 6.5 points. Who do you got, Stan?
I don't like Baltimore. I don't like Purple. I don't like Ray Lewis. I think he's a murderer. I definitely don't like Baltimore. Really don't like crab cakes. And Cleveland sucks, too, but at least they really don't mean much this year. I'm going to take Cleveland. Plus, Cleveland reminds me of the Major League movie and Charlie Sheen and winning and all that fun stuff and porn stars and threesomes. And let's go with Cleveland.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that sounds good. If Cleveland was winning, they would have something to do with them. I'm going with Baltimore.
I'm going with Baltimore as well.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like Baltimore either after last week, believe me. But it was a game. Next up, we have the Dallas Cowboys at the Arizona Cardinals in their terrible attempt at winning a division. And Dallas is favored by 4.5 points. What do you got, Eric?
Going to Arizona.
Oh, look at you. All right, I'm going with Dallas. What you got, Stan?
Eric, is that just the attempt to dislike Dallas because you're an Eagles fan? Because 4.5 points.
No, because I honestly, Dallas came out and beat Miami by a point last week. So, you know, with the spread and everything, I could totally see, you know, a close game there between Arizona and Dallas.
Okay. I'm going to go with Dallas because I totally can't see a close game there in Arizona. And Dallas is going to win by, like, 2 touchdowns.
I would imagine. All right. Next up is the Green Bay Packers with their undefeated streak going up against the New York Football Giants, with Green Bay favored by 6.5 points. Does the streak continue? And who do you take with the points, Eric?
Green Bay.
All right. Stan.
Well, you got Green Bay with the cheeseheads, and you got the Giants with fans with big heads, and Giants just plain out suck. So, Green Bay.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. Giant fans do have big heads. And, you know, cheesy fucking comebacks to when you tell them that you've won far more Super Bowls than them. So, yeah. I go with the cheeseheads rather than...
My favorite up, and I'm a little closer to the Giants Stadium, and you used to be up here, Jay, so you know.
Yeah.
I love when they go back to 1958 and say, we won more NFC championships. And I just look at them and go, what the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah. Lately, I've got more of, like, I've got this douchebaggery where people go, well, they haven't won since such and such. But, okay, minus the Super Bowl that you won semi-recently, what have you done in history? Can you not do the math there? Like, you're just going to go, we won one sooner. Like, go fuck yourself. Seriously. Jesus Christ. Posting pictures of fucking Jim Burton, fucking Leonard Marshall hitting Joe Montana. That's funny. How did that turn out in the end for you guys? Next up, we have the St. Louis Rams. Oh, boy. That's St. Louis Rams taking on
San Francisco.
And my boys are up. I had a favorite by 13.5 points. I'm going with my team blindly, but 13.5 is a lot of points. But either way, we win this game, we clinch the fucking playoffs, and I'm going with my guys big. So, what do you got, Eric?
Niners.
All right. What do you got, Stan?
All right, so I think about this. I think of Big Arch versus Big Hill. Your hill has a lot of little twists and turns, and it was really cool on Full House, and there's, like, a trolley car and stuff. You got Dean Martin singing San Francisco for you there every time you play it. And I'm, That's not Dean Martin? That sure sounds like Dean Martin.
No, that's Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett
Sinatra also
okay.
did it, though.
Yeah, and so did Dean Martin. Dean Martin definitely did that because he butchered it, and it's on all of his stupid tapes you can buy at 3 in the morning, you know, when you're drunk and watching nonsense TV, like I'm sure most of us have many times.
That's why I have a DVR. No Dean Martin for me. it's all good.
Actually, Dean Martin's not too bad. He was very drunk on TV, which always proves some good comedy. 13.5 points, but like you said, they won the division. I'm going with San Francisco just to blow them out, and besides the fact that I follow football like you wouldn't believe, and I can probably name 5 people on the St. Louis Rams that matter.
Right. All right. Next up, we have the Detroit Lions taking on the New Orleans Saints, with the Saints favored by 7.5 points. And I don't know, man. I've seen these teams up and down here and there. I'm going to go with Detroit. The Saints are either crushing or surprisingly losing. And as you mentioned, St. Louis having fucking nobody and everything like this, like one of their only wins came against the fucking Saints. I don't know. I'm just going with Detroit on this one. I've always not even hoped, but expected them to bounce back in some form. And they just haven't, but I'm going to go with Detroit.
Well, in the social light, if you look at this type of game, you got two completely opposite cities. You got New Orleans, big party city and everything. Detroit, well, pretty much just misery. New Orleans is like you take your shirt off to get some beads. Detroit, you take your shirt off or you get shot in the head. New Orleans, I'm sure houses cost like $250,000. Detroit, they're like $2.50. So I'm going to have to go to New Orleans.
Gold. Fucking hardcore pawn.
I'm going to have to go with New Orleans just based on the happy factor of I'd much rather go there than Detroit because I really don't see anything interesting in Detroit besides maybe nothing's interesting in Detroit and it's cold there. New Orleans takes this one.
All right.
New Orleans, too.
All right.
Eric, was it for the same reasons?
No, it's just because, New Orleans beat the shit out of New York last week, and Detroit got beat by Green Bay. So
where would you rather visit, Eric, New Orleans or Detroit?
Oh, fuck Detroit. I would rather go to New Orleans.
Eminem's coming to your house tonight. I just want to let you know.
Eric, would you flash for beads in New Orleans?
Would I flash for beads? Would I get beads? No.
Yeah, I'm just asking. No.
I wouldn't get no beads.
No.
Everybody gets beads in New Orleans. Anyway, last game up we have the San Diego Chargers taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars, with San Diego favored by 2.5 points. What
both,
do you got,
both,
Eric?
Well, first off, both coaches, one of them's fired. The other one's on the hot seat. San Diego's coach is on the hot seat. And Del Rio just got fired. So, Diego.
Why do they abbreviate Jacksonville with an X on TV when there's no X in the word Jacksonville?
Because they're lazy.
I don't know what lazy and fucking, ignorant has to do with each other, but.
They can use a C just as easily, and everybody would understand Jack.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Jax. It sounds cool and shit, but it's like thanks with an X at the end. it's really not accurate. Like, I'm glad the NFL turns into a teenage girl with fucking one team in the NFL. It's pretty cool. So anyway, who do you got, Eric?
San Diego.
Oh, okay. I got San Diego as well. What do you got?
All right, I gotta ask, who gives a shit about this game? First off, it's the worst Monday night game in probably 3 years.
What happened to the
swing
schedule?
Yeah, that obviously starts next week, hopefully, and they just butchered this one and put this one on 1 week early. I think it does because they should have swing scheduled this into either that Pittsburgh Cincy game or, any other game on the schedule. Neither one of these teams matter. Neither one of these teams can go anywhere. And I've always asked this question. Maybe one of you two intelligent gentlemen have the answer. What is a Charger?
Well, I plugged my phone into one earlier tonight. I'm not really sure if that's what they're going for. I mean, it did give life to my phone, so it does hold some form of power, but they don't have that on their helmet. They have a lightning bolt. I think a lightning bolt will probably put you in a fucking coma, but I don't know. I don't know what they're going for with that lightning and electricity and charged up. Because I think that's their whole thing, is getting charged up. And that hasn't happened since they didn't have fucking Sean Merriman, and he wasn't beating Tilo Tequila's fucking face in. But other than that, yeah, I don't know.
Real quick, though, you mentioned something about like the switching of the schedule. I don't think Monday night games are affected by that, though.
What, was that a Sunday thing?
Yeah, I think it's only Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Monday night games are set. Like, they're set in stone, the Monday night games.
Then until Jacksonville wins, makes it to 10 straight playoff games, they should never be allowed on Monday night again. Because
well, they,
now
they,
I'm just going to get home from work and go to bed because there's no point in staying up for that game.
Going into the season, they, you know, we're thinking, you know, that this could
they
be
were
a
thinking,
good game.
What,
at
that
this...
Maurice Jones-Drew is going to run for 4,000 yards because they have no quarterback and no defense?
That's
pretty much a bad choice by the NFL.
Maurice
Jones-Drew is
going to
run for
down.
Like 1,300 and still suck.
Yeah, as far as things being set in stone, too, I just want to put out there that I really think fucking Detroit needs to be set in a fucking a concrete fucking slab before they get put on fucking Thanksgiving again. I don't know what that has to fucking, you know, who they blew to get that fucking spot for the rest of history, but they continue to shit the bed every single Thanksgiving, and I don't know why we have to keep dealing with that as far as set in stone goes. I'll deal with this Monday night football game if we get Detroit off Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I can actually answer that question if you want a long, little, not long, but short piece of NFL history.
No, dude, I would really love that because I've really not had the energy to look it up and always wondered.
Well, back in 1960-some-odd year when the NFL talked about putting a game on Thanksgiving, all the teams said, F you, no, except for the guy in Detroit because they even sucked way back then. Had like two good years, Barry Sanders. The rest of the time, apparently, they've always sucked, just like the city. So they, the owner wanted some publicity and said, we'll take the game, but we always get it if this takes off. If this is something that's going to happen, we always get that game. So he had a little bit of foresight and was able to grab something like the Thanksgiving Day game. Unfortunately, he can't pick a quarterback, wide receiver, or running back to save his life, and seems to pick a wide receiver in the first round every year for the past 10.
Isn't that guy dead now? Can we get rid of that clause or what?
Unfortunately, no. And besides, Tim Allen used to put some pretty cool things on there on Tool Time way back when that was on TV.
All right. I mean, I don't see where any of this points towards the future. We just keep going backwards and saying, what happened? What used to be cool? Barry Sanders, fucking Tim Allen, some other fucking asshole. Like,
well, you can see Ndamukong Suh kick people. That's relatively cool.
Yeah, nut stomping fun on Thanksgiving.
How long of a suspension do you
roasting?
Think he should?
What?
Do you think the 2-game suspension was good enough for him, or do you think he should have got longer?
It's football. I think he should have got zero. He should have got smacked with like a fucking $75,000 fine that went to some children's organization, or maybe just bought like, I don't know, let's say $2.50 a house. I don't know, every house in Detroit for people. Or he should have just, like, basically been told that was not very nice and this is football, don't do it again. Otherwise, we're going to take another $75,000 from you. But when it comes to physicality in football, and especially being a Steelers fan, I can care less about him kicking somebody in the chest. I can really care less about somebody getting their head taken off coming across the middle. And I damn sure can care less that every time one of my guys hits somebody, it's a flag, and every time one of my guys gets hit, it's not. So, basically, good old Roger Goodell can go fuck himself.
Yeah.
Who did you have in the San Diego game stand?
I didn't know what a supercharger was, so I think I went with Jacksonville just because they have the X in their name, and it sounds cooler than the Charger.
Yes.
Well.
Like totally. Fucking.
And I figure since I got nothing to watch on Monday night, I might be at the mall with a bunch of 14-year-old girls so we can TTYL and BTW and stuff.
yeah, and all that stuff. But yeah, fucking whatever. I don't know, man. It's some shit. But wrestling wise, I mean, what else have we got?
We talked about Raw, we talked about SmackDown, we talked about Ring of Honor, we talked about Star, we talked about...
I'm saying Stan. I haven't talked to Stan about shit.
Wrestling-wise?
Yeah. What do you got?
I'm rather interested and rather excited about Saturday to come down. I would have loved to come down for both shows. Unfortunately, I do have a prior commitment in the afternoon. I'm very excited to see what this is all about. Again, for the listeners or and Eric, I've known Jay for, I don't know, however many years.
Long time.
Before Booker T was a five-time champ.
And was much more entertaining.
And was much, much more, and no spinneroonies or none of that nonsense. I did used to sit up there and watch the ECW on whatever night that was at 1 in the morning. I would go to their shows.
1 second. When he was doing this.
Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you, nigga! That was much, much more entertaining with his brother sitting over there looking at him.
Yep.
The visual of that clip, by the way, is so much... It just makes it so much better than the audio. But the audio,
he doesn't know what to do with himself afterwards.
No, he just looks like he wants to put his head in his hands and cry. And it's just
like,
amazingly good.
I just called that guy. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I just called the biggest name in wrestling history, and they go, fuck me.
Very.
Like, Mike and I
just
called
Ric Flair. My brother's never going to be heard of again.
No. But I'm very excited to see what this is all about. I did grow up loving the ECW atmosphere. Maybe not so much some of the wrestlers or some of the shit they did. But I did love the whole small town, small venue. We are the fans. We love the business. We do that for. This is why we're out there to compete. Is to make each and every one of the people that pay the money to see us happy. Not the WWE style of, you know, you got to watch us because we're the only thing going, and basically F you, we don't care what you think. So I'm interested to relearn that or revisit that aspect of wrestling, and just interested in all the good things I've heard about CZW and their brand.
Yeah, CZW is really the epitome of that, like bringing the fans in and making them part of the show and, you know, not necessarily pulling you out of the crowd and be like, all right, hold his fucking head while I punch him, but, like, you know, you'll see what I mean. Like, it's a feeling where you see a guy go into such deep fucking character in the ring, and you're like, wow, this fucking guy's intense. And then you talk to him in the back, and it's just like talking to some fucking dude. And it's cool shit, man. They've always been a super humble company on a personal level. And then on a professional level, they've been as intense as you can expect. Yeah, it's great stuff, man. I'm very excited for you to see what it's about, and you know, hopefully you like everything they put out there.
Is there any long-winded chants that I need to know? Like, so do I need, like, a little study guide to get myself ready for this?
A chant?
Yeah, like, you know, again, back to the ECW days, you'd go there if you didn't know what was going on. You had no idea why they were calling different people different things. Is there any of those type things going on that I need to know, or am I going to be looking around kind of lost going, what the f*** are they saying that for?
Well,
there's
a lot of different things that are pretty much the same. You just follow suit, you know, more or less. You get it as you go. I mean, there's always the shut the fuck ups, and the, you know, there's always the you fucked up if they do, but, you know, and just you go with whatever. Some people chant more than they fucking should ever chant ever, you know, but it's a lot of, you know, supporting the people who you like, that type of shit. And then on top of that, just, you know, it's a pretty open atmosphere, man. It's really not a, you don't have to just know everything that everyone's talking about, but, you know.
Hey, Jay, I wonder if your boy's going to be there, the one that you can't stand, that fucking, the Sabian, the one that went out with Sabian.
The one that what? Oh,
when
Steve?
After, yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's always there. It's great. This fucking guy gets so fired up, and my dude, geez, he fucking he throws his fucking food and fucking drink at the dude and fucking. He gets all fired up and fucking, geez, just feeds off it and then posts pictures on the internet and talks about fucking his girlfriend and stuff. It's awesome. Geez is a classic heel. He plays a tremendous part, and this guy takes it seriously. He goes and makes banners of the guy, and he makes T-shirts on how much he legitimately hates him. Spends tons of money on his hatred of this guy. It's fucking great. And then he took offense to me calling him a douchebag on my radio show. It's cute. Fucking asshole.
But he listens. That's not a bad thing.
No, it's great.
So Eric, as a CZW first timer or virgin or whatever stupid term you want to use,
that's Eric's
title. I want stupid term or virgin. Which one?
No, I'm just joking.
Eric, which match should I be looking forward to the most and be most
and
DJ
and why?
DJ and Greg, to be honest. DJ
and
Greg.
No,
okay.
And why?
And why?
Well, you know what?
You guys are speaking in code over there. Listen. I don't. You guys are like speaking in code over there. I don't know what a DJ MY is or DJ MY.
No, he said NY. Like. He wanted me to give him an explanation.
No, because he says DJ and Greg, and I said NY.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
No.
Well,
because
it's going to be a great fucking match, and I'm telling you right now. No, I think the KG Death match, just because of the elements, and I think, like, if, you know, you're an ECW fan, I mean, CZW is... It's not... It's what ECW... was back in the day, but younger.
Can you just read me like the first Japanese names that you can think of off
no,
the top of your
no,
head?
No, absolutely not. No, thank you.
Okay.
I already did that. Go back
go
and the archives.
our Japanese names are pretty easy, though, man. They're just like phonetic. You just
no, fuck
just
that shit. I don't
want to
hear that. I don't want to hear that. That's bullshit.
Now you have
okay?
to pause. You have to pause in the middle of the guy's first name. That's the best thing to do.
But it's just phonetic. Yeah,
no.
I mean, if it's like T-A-O,
shit.
It's like pow. Just kind of like just let your mouth go. Eric, take your mouth, just let it go. Make a big circle with it, let your tongue come out. Just massage
hey, whoa,
the word
whoa,
as it comes
isn't
out.
That type of show? Isn't that type of show? Circle and tongues and hey, whoa. So the channels for that. I don't know, man. If you pause in the middle of the name and go, that's the best way to pronounce it, I think. It's a Japanese pronunciation, you know? Authentic. I'm not Japanese. Eric is in touch.
Eric's part Japanese?
No, but, you know. You know? I don't know.
I gotta say, I've been listening for about a month now. This is the first time I've heard Jay speechless, so I must be doing something right.
Nah, it's all
the
good, man.
The tongue spinning around comment, like got him all like, huh? Tongue spinning now. But like I said, you know, there's a lot of guys that you know they're hungry, and you know you can tell that they're hungry, and you know that they want an opportunity, and there's certain guys that don't. But don't need to be there. And you'll see right off the bat that there's guys in the company that, you know, you'd be like, he shouldn't be a wrestler. He should be somebody.
You call me a retard?
Yeah,
hey, what's
guy.
The fag's name? Dan Shoko Dino?
Dan, yeah, Dan Shoko Dino.
Dan Shoko Dino, right?
Yeah.
Eric, you can't say these things, man?
Dan Shoko Dino. Okay, no, it's the fucking women's, like Toshi Yumasawa.
That sounded better than the first time you said it.
It doesn't even fucking right. I'm probably going to fucking, yeah. I'll have to wait till the DVD comes out and fucking, you know, start fucking
the
playing. And then I'll be like, yeah. That's what the sound makes at the arena when the fucking DJ and Greg start wrestling.
Oh,
The chat room's fucking bugging out. What's the fag's name? They're bugging out laughing. That's great.
So,
anyway,
you're telling me
we'll
I should be looking forward to this Drake Younger Rory Mondo match, right? But now you just told me before Rory Mondo might not be showing up.
I'm not saying that that's going to happen. He no-showed my show. He was supposed to be here tonight.
Well, he's a douchebag, but that's okay.
Well, that's his business. But either way, like, they're clear-cut, honestly. You put these two guys in the street, they had a problem with each other. Drake is going to kill fucking Rory. Drake has a little bit of personal issues with Rory. Drake is also a professional wrestler. He's also, you know, a veteran. He's been around for a long time and all of that stuff. How fucking serious he's going to take it, only time will tell. We'll see on Saturday. The match is booked, everything like that. If I was fucking Rory, I wouldn't open my mouth, and I sure as shit wouldn't show up at that fucking building because not a good look. But there's no signs saying he's not going to show up, but go ahead.
I got you. Now, again, as somebody that doesn't know the CZW people or talent, back in the ECW days, Devon Dudley was the guy, one of the couple, and believe it or not, Tracy Smothers, if you remember him, who was horrible with
FBI. Oh, Tracy Smothers is awesome, dude. I can show you shit of him on the indies. You're very happy.
Right. No, he was good, but he was that whole gimmick of FBI I didn't enjoy. But then again, I don't like Italian, so that might have been it.
Okay.
So those were the two guys, just like Steven Regal and Finley were guys that you would just, if you said something stupid, you did something stupid, that's who you had to match with. Go in there, take your lumps like a man. If you come out of it and they feel that you came out of it, then you're good. Is this Drake Younger one of those type of guys, or is he just
Drake
legitimately
is a
not
very
like
humble
guy?
Very cool dude, and he's but he is old school. He did come up from, and that's like what you're saying right there is old school, and that's any old school guy. You know, I got the fucking great opportunity to train with Manny Fernandez like on two occasions, and you know I'm not a fucking wrestler, but you know when I did try out the whole training thing and stuff like that, I got to train on fucking the Manny Fernandez, and that's fucking awesome. And he was a guy who has been known to just beat the shit out of students when he didn't like what the fuck they were doing. And half the people in the class just completely left the fucking ring and went home. And I was like, fucking great, finally I get to train with a professional. Because the other people who were taking my money were fucking scumbags, and they didn't know shit about wrestling other than taking my money and going, go ahead, and fucking now you train a new guy that started fucking 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, I don't know shit, dude. Like, they were doing that type of shit. So I was really fucking happy with that. But, you know, that's old school mentality. And there's a lot of guys that were trained that way, and they're humble, and they're completely respectful while they're, you know, in every locker room they go to, in every city, in every state, in every country that they go to. They're humble, cool dudes, and they just learn and learn and learn and learn. But when you see a young guy come up and they disrespect the way that you never even dreamed of acting, that's what I think is going on here. And that's where I think Drake is going to come outside of his normal professional thing, and he's going to put it on him.
Didn't New Jack get arrested for that?
Oh, New Jack. Dude, that's...
I was never a big New Jack fan. I just thought, you know, he didn't really bring much. I mean...
I'll have to show you all the clips of New Jack, dude. When he stabbed the one dude he called Crocodile Dundee, I got a DVD of that shit. And he watches the video with us and tells you about it as it happens, and it's one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen. He's like, see? And then he tried to dump me. I told him, don't try to dump me. And then I went in my pocket, got a knife about this big, and I stuck him. And I stuck him. And I stuck him. he's a comical dude, man. He's fucking crazy. He's not talented. He's fucking nuts. So,
yeah, there's
whatever.
A difference there.
Yeah. You don't fuck with New Jack, but, yeah. That's, you know, completely different from Drake Younger. Drake Younger is kind of played as close to the vest and professional as he can, but I don't think he's not going to make it obvious that he's hurting this kid.
Gotcha.
So, any other questions?
No,
about
that's
the show.
That's pretty much it on the show. I mean,
hey,
like I said, excited to see CZW for the first time, and I'll be able to spit that out a lot better by the end of the night, I'm sure. Planning on getting there relatively early, probably in the 6 o'clock range. I have talked two people into going with me, trying to build up a little bit of a fan base and take some road trips every month or so. Excited to see what it's all about, and from what you're talking about it, and me knowing that you know wrestling and you like the same things I do, and you watch it for the same thing, the same reasons. You know, it's got some. You get the backstory, and you get what they're doing out there. As I feel I do, I don't think I'm going to be disappointed by my. My CZW first time experience. Hell, I might even buy a T-shirt.
Well, yeah, do what you gotta do.
31-14 is the final, by the way, the Eagles game.
Isn't that sad? Fucking Dream Team douchebags.
Now I gotta deal with fucking asshole Seattle fans.
Yep. 4 fucking wins on the year.
Well,
that sounds
Eric,
like
you
your
know
last
a Seattle
week's
fan?
Fucking football picks.
What?
Wait, hold on, Eric. You know a Seattle fan?
Oh, I know a fucking shitload of them. I work with
a
them.
Seattle
really?
Fans?
Yeah, like
shitload
of
Seattle fans.
Yeah,
I went
weird.
To Seattle 3 times. I never met a Seattle fan.
Like around where I live, like there's fucking 5 of them. Like there's fucking 2 on my fucking block. You know what I mean?
Is there a big gray cloud over your block? Because I thought Seattle fans only like lived under rain.
Yeah, who the fuck knows? It's fucking cunts.
Wow. Now they're cunts. Well, they won't win their division. You can just tell them that. Go tell them that.
Do you really know Seattle fans?
Yes, yes.
Like, a bunch of them popped up when they played the Steelers in the Super Bowl, and ha-ha, that was funny and all, and then they got their asses kicked.
They went away.
Yeah, they just all disappeared. I mean, there's, like, Sean Alexander jerseys floating around everywhere, and a bunch of people wearing them, and you're just like, why'd you buy that? That's stupid. It's the worst color green I've ever seen on the sleeves there, and it looks like, again, a 14-year-old girl should be wearing it, and why don't they just say SEX for their fucking title, too, and everybody will laugh, ha-ha. And it was ridiculous. But you really know Seattle fans?
Yeah, yeah.
That's entertaining.
Do you know
it's
any Chiefs fans?
That I'm not
I've never
with.
Met a Kansas City Chiefs fan.
I know a Kansas City Chiefs fan, actually.
I've heard of one. I don't really know him personally, but I've heard of him. He's they ran a wrestling, not a wrestling, a football radio show and shit for. Not football, complete sports. I can't even talk at this point in the night. But, yeah, complete sports and stuff like that. And he was a Kansas City fan, and they kind of didn't keep doing their show after a while. So, that's go figure.
There's a lot of Green Bay fans where I live, too.
Green Bay is obvious.
Yeah.
They've been good forever, and people jump out the bandwagon and that whole fucking thing.
Yeah, when
Green
you're
undefeated, cool,
you'll
I
find a shitload of fans.
Yeah, Green Bay, I get it. Pittsburgh, I get it. Even Miami, even though I think you really have to be a closet fag to like teal and orange. But, you know, I get the Miami thing. They were decent. Dan Marino, you know, that whole thing. I get it. But, like, Detroit Lions. Do you know any Detroit Lions fans?
Justin
no.
Maine. He was a guest on the show, and he lives, like, in fucking Detroit. Stuff,
yeah, that don't
you know.
Count. If you live in Detroit, like, that's cool. I'm talking about, like, you know, transplanted fans. You know, you live in the city, I get it. But,
no
like me, I'm a Steelers
fan,
always been. But there's just some teams that I never thought I'd meet a fan of. Arizona Cardinals, never met a fan. Like, you don't ever hear anybody saying, I'm an Arizona Cardinal fan, go Cards, and you remember way back when, and I can't even think of a fucking player from their team from way back when.
Steve Largent.
No. Wasn't he a Seattle Seahawk?
Yeah. Who are you going for?
Oh, we were on the Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona Cardinals. Kurt Warner.
Like, remember when they were in St. Louis, and that's about all you got?
Adrian James.
Yeah, but he was an Indianapolis Colt. I mean, another team that besides if it wasn't for Peyton Manning, there was no fans of. Like, tell me there's a fan between 30 and 50 of that doesn't like Peyton Manning or doesn't like Bart Starr, not Bart Starr, the other jerk off there, Johnny Unitas.
Andrew Luck? Oh.
It's going to be quite interesting, by the way, when Andrew Luck does go to Indianapolis, what they decide to do with Peyton Manning. Because you know that fucker doesn't want to give up his Sony TV commercials.
Well, no, quite honestly, from what I've heard, the only way that, see, like in this offseason, they have to make a decision. And if they keep Peyton Manning on next year, they have to give him like another, I think, $20 million or some shit like that.
Yeah.
If they make the decision in the offseason not to keep him, they don't have to pay that. It's like an optional year.
Right.
And if they know they have a lock on that first fucking pick and they want to stake their future on it, they can fucking move on. Now, if Peyton comes back and he's never the same off of this fucking surgery and shit, they lose $20 million if, you know, if he does come back and he helps this guy and this and that, and then they build a future, well, it still costs you $20 million. I don't know, man.
So, let's just say, hypothetical, and you'll like this hypothetical. Peyton Manning goes and gets cut by the Indianapolis Colts for $20 million, which, okay, get it, a lot of money. He goes to San Francisco because I'm going to whisper it. He goes to San Francisco, and all of a sudden they're in the Super Bowl because and
this doesn't like convert the radio, right? I understand what you're saying, but I hear something about Alex, and I kind of understand. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Alex Smith is never going to win a Super Bowl, to tell you.
Okay. Well, holler at me at the end of the year, dude. You know.
Okay. So Peyton Manning goes out there and he eats that race stuff that you guys sell, and he goes and hangs out with Joey from Full House, and I don't know much else about San Francisco, but I'm sure it's pretty cool. There's a lot of fags there too, but
there's five Super Bowls, and you know we're on your heels.
No,
we win this one, and we're fucking on task with you. You know a little bit about us.
So he goes over there. He goes over there. He wins the Super Bowl, and Andrew Luck goes 2-14. You're telling me that the fans of Indianapolis, with their rich history and their long love
burn his
of
fucking
the Indianapolis,
like they did LeBron in Cleveland.
But it's not his fault. Like LeBron in Cleveland, that was LeBron's choice. Look at Peyton Manning on ESPN No. I'm not saying Peyton's doing anything wrong. I'm saying Jim Irsay and the rest of the dope over
there. I'm just saying LeBron-wise. LeBron's supposed to be fucking Barry Sanders and sit in fucking Cleveland until he's done with fucking life.
No, but you don't go on national TV and fucking embarrass
where you
played. No. Stop
sure
it.
You do.
Stop it. That was the worst move.
I go on fucking national TV and show my cock, you give
me
that amount of money. Fuck that.
Listen. Okay, but at least you can do it better. You don't go to the Boys and Girls Club and tell me about the Southern Kids and then do it in Greenwich, fucking Connecticut.
I said, no, I cannot do it better. Are you fucking kidding me?
But
my dick ain't worth fucking
Club,
LeBron James' career. This fucking guy. He's got it.
You don't go to the Boys and Girls Club of Greenwich, Connecticut and say, oh, look, I'm with all these little starving kids that parents only make $120,000 a year. Get the fuck out of here. Go to, like, I don't know, somewhere where there really are starving kids. He needed the money?
He gave the money.
That's what I'm saying, to kids that didn't need it. Go to fucking Harlem. They need it. Greenwich, Connecticut does not need money.
Oh, the Harlem parents have spent it on motherfucking crack. Like, man, I know some people that would be like, I got my infants. They name was on my cable bill. And I'm like, come on. Come on, man. You don't send that shit to that level. They're just like, oh, shit. 3 months of motherfucking free OJ. Like, that shit is not the right fucking thing to do with a shitload of money. Like, at least somebody who's trying and isn't making it even on a medium level, honestly, I would say that that's the person to help. You can, I mean, if you take the child away from the parent that's been on welfare for fucking 15 years, and then you help that child, I'm all for it. But, I mean, if you're just going to fucking feed money into the parent that couldn't do shit for 15 years for their fucking child, I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I'm not for any of that crazy shit, but Greenwich, Connecticut is not a fucking poor area. Why he
no,
went to that
not,
Boys and Girls
not,
Club
I agree,
is beyond
I,
me.
But still.
I didn't even know they had a Boys and Girls Club over there. I didn't understand the whole thing. He shouldn't have done it on national TV, in my humble opinion. He should have went about it, signed a contract, and did whatever he had to do, put out a couple stupid Nike commercials and, you know, that whole thing. I thought those were quite funny. Maybe did Letterman. I would have been cool with that after he signed somewhere. But to put it on TV and to make me waste an hour of my life that I still sit back and go, fuck, I'm never going to get that hour of my life back. And I watched that stupid shit.
Nah.
It bothers me.
He'll win the title, you know. And it won't be fucking LeBron. LeBron is not the fucking guy that he was built up to be. Fucking Dwayne Wade is a better basketball player than LeBron James. And he proved that shit last year. And LeBron could do whatever the fuck he wants to. They were calling him the next Jordan. He never won a fucking title.
Listen,
there's a next
the
Jordan.
The only fucking
unfortunately,
title LeBron James, the only title LeBron James is going to be is of the fucking celebrity boxing when he beats Dennis Rodman. That's the only title he's
won. I don't know about that. But no, nah, he's with a fantastic team. And, I mean, talking about fucking that, like, the only person who could be the next Jordan right now on fucking face value and you know, love him or hate him, and, you know, I have a little bit of both in me, but fucking Kobe Bryant is the only fucking guy that's put up the ability and fucking titles on top of it. Thanks, Shaq. And, you know, he's the only one you could put that credibility to. You cannot have no titles and be like, this guy's next Jordan. Failure, 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 failure. Well, but still, like, no, but not still. Like, Dwayne Wade fucking busting his ass for the fucking finals when LeBron is putting up fucking 12 points. Like, that's not, no. You're done. Like, fucking fall into line and find out where you fit in because you're definitely not the leader. Dwayne Wade is the leader of the fucking Heat.
It's almost like Donovan McNabb being the next, like, I don't know, Trent Dilfer. No titles, don't count.
Huh. Well, it's like Mike Vick being the future for the Eagles. You know, no playoffs.
No playoffs.
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, McNabb, I had said that before. McNabb fucking went to the Eagles, you know, or went to the Eagles, been with the Eagles forever, and they can pretty much consistently made the playoffs or were at least in contention for the playoffs. Playoffs? Fucking, but then Mike Vick gets there and they're like, oh, fucking future, look at how he runs for 60 yards, that's so safe. And then he gets fucking hurt. Like, he killed puppies, no one likes dogs. And fucking, you know, all of a sudden he's getting fucking banged up every single game. Now this fucking guy's out, and the only quote-unquote douchebag to call it a dream team is your fucking only choice, and that's fucking Vince Young. So, what is the future of fucking Mike Vick in the NFL? I mean, he got brutalized this whole fucking season, and he fought through injuries. This is his first, you know, like, real, like, spotlight coming back and supposed to be the guy. I mean, what is that?
Mike Vick, if he took the right salary, is a good backup quarterback because he can come in and give you two or three games and do something for those two or three games while you're hoping your starting quarterback comes back. Like, if he was in Chicago would be very happy right now. But he can't be a starter because you can't rely on somebody like him. But at the same token, and he's not going to take that.
Eric, right. Do we go archive after this or no?
We have, what, like 2 minutes left, right?
It said 90 seconds. Did we go archive after that or no?
Yeah.
Okay, we can keep talking. No, but
I'm gonna head off the air, though, right?
Huh?
I'm going to head off, though.
Okay, man. Peace, Eric.
This phone's fucking giving me, like, crazy fucking, like,
echoes. Phone. Hate
echoes.
That phone.
So,
Eric,
yeah,
good talking
I'll
to you, man.
Yeah, I'll see you guys on Saturday, all right?
All right.
All right.
Hey,
yeah, what's up?
Oh, hey, hey, Stan.
Yo.
No, but yeah, definitely, I don't know, man, Mike Vick, fucking, a backup quarterback, I mean, I think he's a good fucking quarterback other than killing dogs,
but I don't know. I just don't see him as a guy that's going to, with the way he's playing, have a long longevity as a fucking quarterback. What do you think?
He's just not tough enough. He's honestly not, and not saying that as he's weak. He's just one of these, he's too frail, and his style doesn't translate into a barely 6 foot, 220-pound person playing that style. I hate to bring it up, Tim Tebow could last 16 games because he's 6'3", 260, or whatever they list him at.
But he's not fast enough to make that shit work for long enough. You know, fucking Mike Vick is lightning fast. Tebow ain't anywhere near as fucking fast.
Oh, no, but the thing is, no, Tebow will never make that spectacular play, but it's kind of like Peyton Hillis and Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson's going to run for 200 yards one game and break 290-yard touchdowns and then run 20 times for 20 other yards, and everybody's going to say he's great because he was on ESPN twice. Peyton Hillis is going to run up the middle.
Like Ali and Kaheem?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, kind of.
Nobody else gets that but us, but.
No, but that's kind of what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, Peyton Hillis is going to give you 4 yards every time picking up first downs. He's never going to quite go backwards. He's not. He's also going to keep playing where Chris Johnson, although it hasn't happened yet, I can't say with that small frame and everything, he's going to be able to last much more.
Or Deuce McAllister, Reggie Bush.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
you know,
you're
going
back.
That's just how I look at it. And I'm not a big Tebow fan. Trust me. WWE, TT. What would Tim Tebow do? WWTTT, whatever the hell it is.
Shit. What would he do? He'd fucking pray to Jesus and suck a guy's cock.
Yeah, but why are you going on this gay thing? I'm a little confused on that. I honestly...
Because he's crying in interviews. He's fucking... Like, they asked him... I mentioned this last week, and I'm going to have to pull the audio from this because, like, it's fucking brutal, but they asked him... They did an interview with him, and they came kind of hard-hitting at him, and they were like, well... Okay,
well,
what do you think?
The hard hitting from the back, because then I get the gay thing.
No. But that's what happens when the camera goes off. But
okay,
he said some stuff. They asked him some stuff about, you know, well, you know, what do you think is going to go on with this team? And he said, yeah, he was just playing the whole PC thing. He's like, well, you know, just looking for the future and this and that. And then the guy's like, all right, you know, fuck this. And he's like, do you think that Elway and such are, you know, confident in you being the future of the Denver Broncos as quarterback? And he's like, well, you know, I just hope to be here, you know, for a lot longer and stuff. And he's already looking like a bitch. And he's like, well, you know, I just kind of want to. And then they're like, no. I said, do you foresee them having confidence in you as the future of the Denver Broncos as quarterback? And like they showed him, his eyes were tearing up, and he's like, well, you know. And then that was like a teaser towards this big interview, and I was just like, I don't need to see it anymore. Like, this dude is about to cry over that bullshit. I'm just like, you know what? What's his name that you go with? I don't know, man. I don't see this guy as a straight fucking meaty dude. Other than,
you know,
the sausage.
It's actually, yeah, it's quite funny that I do also think he's going to be the first one to come out as a major, not some fucking lineman from the Bengals way back when, Anthony Munoz or whoever the fuck that was a queer. That's listen, if they are gay, that's all well and good. I honestly don't have any problem with that. I really got more of a problem with going to a wrestling match on Saturday and watching a guy put another guy's head in fucking underwears. I got to be honest, I got more of a problem with myself watching it, so I might be out of the snack bar line at that point. But, listen, I wouldn't exactly want to be the center. Maybe that's why he's always been in the shotgun.
You know,
maybe Urban Meyer knew a thing or two.
Direct snap me.
Yeah.
We're good.
You know, maybe that's why the Gators did always go shotgun. I would if I was
blocking.
Block,
I'm running right up the back of you.
Right. Listen, Tim Tebow might be able to port the Red Sea. He ain't porting back here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think I care though if he's a queer or not. You know, and if I'm a Denver Broncos fan, I really don't.
But when it comes down to it, it's just like the dude's just like fucking standing on the fucking soapbox, and he's like, just, you know, just everything's great. Just trying to be part of the team. You know what? I don't have sex. I'm just like fucking celibate. Just like I stay away from all that because it's temptation. It's like, dude, when you're like a fucking huge draft pick in the NFL, I mean, it's in a miracle that you don't have fucking AIDS with the amount of pussy you're getting. It's ridiculous.
Right, yeah. Well, AIDS is cured.
And you're just like, I just don't. It's gross. You just don't touch women like that. Like, it's just not my thing. It's just like, I'm kind of, I don't know. It's like, yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you? And you're just like, Jesus is, you know, to like touchdowns mean Jesus. And it's, no, you're gay, dude. You're using Jesus as a fucking, Jesus
yeah,
is your fucking wingman on being a fag.
Your question before was, how does the Catholic Church look at him being a queer or him being a Bible thumper?
And
like, which
they're saying Jesus hates fags, and then they're saying, well, they're not saying, but Tim's saying, I'm with them. Like, I don't think you are. I don't know, dude.
Well, my thing is, it's just like all the priests that doing those unfortunate things to young children, and that
I think it was one of
their
children.
Yeah, oh, definitely, without a doubt. And I think they just sweep it under the rug and say, well, you know what, Tim? Don't fucking say nothing. Otherwise, you get sent to, like, Salt Lake City and you're now a Mormon like Steve Young.
I think Tim held a candle or two.
Yeah, definitely.
A couple of candles. But, I don't know, man. It's whatever, you know. You're into Jesus, that's cool, you know. I mean, whatever gets you by, whatever makes you fucking happy, that's fine. If you believe in something that makes you a fucking better person, that makes you happier in your life, then fucking whatever. That's the best thing you should do. If you suck a lot of dick and that makes you fucking happy, that's the best thing you can do. I'm fucking not down with it. I ain't gonna fucking cheer you on. But, hey,
so now I got to ask another question on it. Does it not offend you? Because offend isn't the right word. Does it perturb you more to see a Tim Tebow? And I don't even know how this question comes off. If it's a racist question, if it's just a
racist.
No. Just
okay.
Hear me out on it. I don't know how this question comes off. It's not meant for anything other than a question.
Okay.
When Tim Tebow gets on after he wins the game and he goes, you know, I want to thank my teammates and I want to thank Jesus and I want to thank that, does that perturb you more or less than when the guy like a Plaxico Burress or Ray Lewis that, you know, just basically, you know, have done fucked up shit in their life comes up and goes, I want to thank God first. And you just kind of look at it and go, really? Like,
well,
the fact that that's all he's about, does that mean more to you than the you know, whatever, the thug that wants to come out there and thank God because that's what all the thugs do? You follow what I'm saying?
Nah, because, honestly, the jail shit don't bother me because it's just part of the gimmick. It's just like when Ric Flair says, fucking, I'm jet flying, limousine riding. He's not necessarily taking a jet to every goddamn show, but it works. But and same thing, Ray Lewis, fucking, hey, shout out Jesus. Yeah, I know, when I helmet that nigga earlier in the show, it wasn't personal. It was just, you know what I mean? I just had to, you know, I was just putting that shit on. I don't know, man. Like, I like Ray Lewis a lot. And, yeah, he probably killed somebody, but, what happens? You know, so did OJ. And it took him, like, getting his merchandise back to get in trouble for it. But, whatever. But fucking Ray Lewis is one of the best fucking defensive guys in the fucking league. It has always been. Like, he is such a leader on the defensive side of the field that he's made the fucking Ravens defense better as a whole. And I know that hurts because you're a fucking Pittsburgh fan. It fucking brutally hurts, but you brought up his fucking name, so now you got to get it. But has he not head of that defense that makes it fucking a hard thing to deal with as a Pittsburgh fan twice a year?
Listen, I him and Ed Reed, fucking, I can't stand 2 weeks a year, usually three when they play in the playoffs. The other 14 weeks or 15 or 16, depending on how far that piece of shit purple team goes, I actually do enjoy watching them as a football fan. But I can accept what they do, you know, again, as a fan and know that they are great athletes. Three times a year, two definite, one most likely. I can't stand either one of them, and I honestly hope they choke on fucking crab cake and Ray Lewis fucking pulls a hamstring on that stupid dance he does coming out of the fucking tunnel.
Probably.
Well, I hope for.
He's good. Who's the other guy that you said it was the douchebag for mentioning Jesus?
Burles mentioned Jesus, Deion Sanders.
Oh, Plaxico, Plaxico. What did you think about the fucking...
Stevie Johnson? I thought that was one of
man.
The best touchdown dances ever. I rewound
I
it and laughed like six
hell.
Times.
I funny as shit.
Again, the NFL doesn't get it. You know, you talk about your booker for the CZW stuff doesn't get it. NFL doesn't get it. Listen, that shit sells. I want to watch guys fucking doing stupid shit. I want to watch a guy fucking try to do a backflip and land on his neck. I think that's hysterical.
Great.
By the way,
yeah.
Some guy from Chicago did that and fell on his fucking neck. I don't remember who it
Chicago?
Was. I don't really care.
The
yeah,
Bears?
A couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, man, that should be a YouTube clip.
Yeah, it's on there on YouTube. Some guy, he tried to do a backflip, just basically missed and landed, you know, picture a backflip, and then the guy landed on his face mask. Just
that's phenomenal.
That.
And your record doesn't reflect backflips, but okay.
No. you know,
cool.
that should definitely be allowed. I think, as I said before with the Ndamukong Suh thing, I don't care who you kick. I don't. That you're playing
honestly,
a physical sport.
Honestly, I don't think the stomping shit after the play should be allowed. Like, I definitely think you should at least be fucking removed because you're going a little fucking far. But, I don't, you know, I don't think people need to get in an uproar about it and like, what's up with this guy? Let's mentally evaluate him. Like, no, you're a douche. Stop it. Asshole.
Listen,
much.
If you continue
stopping,
to do it, if you continue,
continue
to do it in the same
you
gotta game.
You got to stop a couple people?
Yeah, well, Jay, you played basketball many, many times. You played basketball on the courts in this town many, many times. You've
yeah.
never gotten into a fight
never
on the basketball
stopped.
Court?
Huh?
Did you ever get into a pushing match? Did you ever get into a fight?
Check it, no.
Huh?
Fight? In a fight on the basketball court?
Yeah.
Nah, a little talking shit and checking and stuff, but no fucking stomping in the fucking chest.
I don't know. Maybe
difference.
I'm a little more competitive. I remember myself getting into a couple of them. It happened.
You got stomped in the chest a few times? And
no,
took it
I
on
didn't
the fucking
get stomped in the
shoulder,
chest, but I
was like, all right, then. A little bit of Wednesday.
But
all.
I got it. No, hold on. But I definitely got into pushing matches. I definitely elbowed a guy for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Was it the right thing to do? No, it wasn't the right thing to do. But in the heat of the battle, in the getting caught up in the moment, and wanting to win, and the intensity to compete at that level and come out on top, no matter what.
That's,
sure,
that's
I might
what
have slipped an elbow
into
that guy's chin.
Carmelone. That's the problem with you. You know
the what?
You get too into Carmelone, and you start fucking elbowing people in the face.
Yeah, well, that's. That's what I like. I don't know. I like Dennis Rodman. I like Karl Malone. I like that whole bad boy image. I get it. I like Ndamukong Suh because of what he did
for,
on Thanksgiving.
For stomping people in the chest.
Hey, look, it brought me and my brothers closer. I walked over and gave one of them a hug and said, you know what? I wouldn't do that to you unless we were playing in a game of football. And everything
unless
was okay.
You're playing football, I stop you in the fucking chest. The fucking come across the middle on me. I swear to Christ. You're done.
With spikes on. But
play
it doesn't
to win
bother
the game.
Me, honestly. It doesn't bother me. My problem with the NFL is you kick him out of the game, right? You kick him out of the game.
Right.
And Ndamukong Suh. Then
you
before
do.
The... No, but then before the Steelers game, and it's one of my players, Mike Wallace basically jacked the guy up. That's okay?
Jacked him up how? In his fucking chest with his fucking cleat? Or
in the pregame. You didn't see him throw a punch at him in the pregame? They showed it like 63 times on NBC.
I watch Red Zone.
No, it was a Sunday night game this week.
Yeah, I'm done. By that time, I'm far too drunk to be watching football.
Yeah. He threw like a little half-ass punch at him type deal and like hit him in the neck area. That was okay.
It's okay. No, it's fucking cleat to the chest in the middle of the fucking game. You know?
I don't know. I say let it all go. Find the money. Give the money to people that need it.
and just let them play the sport. That's what they get paid for, you know?
Possibly. You know, no, I'm down for rough trade. Like, these motherfuckers, you know, they go in there and I think his helmet touched him. Like, go fuck yourself. Like, seriously.
So, if Drake Younger goes out because he has a little bit of a problem. Now, these two guys were going at it all day, and Dominican Sue and the white guy that got kicked in the chest and then
Drake
put
Younger.
His hands up with a little
go
girl.
Ahead.
Right. So, if Drake Younger, who has a problem with Rory Mondo, right? Am I getting these names right? Because if I am, I'm pretty impressed with myself.
Yes, you are.
Okay. So, if Drake Younger goes out there, right?
Yep.
And Rory Mondo catches him a little too hard with and I don't know any of these guys' moves.
That's
at all,
insane.
So.
You're not getting it. Go ahead.
I'm not getting what?
Rory catches Drake too hard. Go ahead.
Rory goes and gives him a European upcut, okay?
Oh,
and catches him a little too hard under the chin, okay? And hear me out on it. Now, Drake goes,
okay.
Oh, I don't like this fucking guy, one. Now this cocksucker missed a move. Now I fucking bit my lip and I'm a little bloody here, and now I'm really going to fuck him up. And he just beats the living piss out of him for the next 8 minutes in a match form, but everything's just that three times as stiff as it needs to be. All right? Is that okay, or does this Drake Younger character get suspended for a week?
Or a
show, or however
you want. Football?
It is?
Little Mondo is not going to hit a stiff fucking European uppercut to Drake Younger without getting his arm ripped off and fucking beaten with. I don't know, man. It's two completely different stories. Honestly, like, when it comes down to it, Little Mondo doesn't belong in the fucking ring with Drake Younger at all. And it's cool. The fact that it's actually come to, like, a fucking beef where, like, these guys actually have problems. I feel bad for Rory. Rory, when I first showed up to CCW in 2001, like, he was dressing up as Nick Mondo, who was a guy back in the day in CCW, and he was, you know, a big, big guy in CCW. He had a 3-year run in CCW. That was Nick Mondo. 3-year run. He was called Sick Nick Mondo. And, he was a fucking tremendous deathmatch wrestler. He took really sick bumps. He would write sick on his forehead, and he would wear UFO pants, and he would just take the crazy fucking bumps. He was great for 3 years. Not the best wrestler in the world, but, like, really reckless with his body, not a big dude. And Little Mondo at the time was probably 13 years old, 10, 13 years old. And his brother, Drew Gulak, who you will also see, his older brother, would bring him to the shows, and he would fucking, and Little Mondo would dress as Nick Mondo. Complete UFO pants, fucking sick written on his forehead, bandana, the whole shit, like he would dress like he was him. Mondo would come out, you know, sometimes after the match, he'd put him on his shoulders, like, hey, yeah, this is the guy, look at him, look at the little guy, look at him. So, fast forward to this guy actually decided he wanted to get into wrestling. He decided to call himself Little Mondo. Like I said, Nick Mondo retired after 3 years. So, even though those 3 years were good, I mean, it's 3 years. I mean, a guy like Drake Younger is going like 10, 11 years in this business. And, just kind of rough. And, like, I known the dude since back then, and I was always cool with him, and I always talked to him and stuff like that, and he was always a cool dude, Rory, but, you know, I mean, he entered, you know, the big man business. He entered dealing with guys that I don't deal with. You know, I hang out with him, I chill with him and stuff like that, but I don't get into their craft. I enjoy it. I endure it. That as far as, like, you know, as a fan.
Right.
But, yeah, he's gotten to some shit where he's pushed a lot of buttons. And that's kind of, like, his thing to deal with at this point. But that's his background. And when you go with Drake Younger, who's won King of the Death matches, won Tournament of Death, has been the longest running CZW World Heavyweight Champion in the history of the company. It was like 2 years. He's not champion now, but like he ran 2 years with the fucking world title. He's done fucking every stipulation, every death match, every everything. The first fucking day I met him, Tournament of Death, shoot, I forget, five, I think. He seen me. You know, it was summertime, it's hot as fuck. You're going to want to come to one of those. He was just like, hey, man, hey, what's going on? You know, just hanging out, drinking and all that shit. And I was hanging out with him and J.C. Bailey, rest in peace, J.C. He seen my tattoo, and he's like, oh, that's fucking awesome, dude. Oh, fucking shit, you see his tattoo? And fucking J.C.'s like, it's all right, man. Because J.C. had a little more of an edge on. Drake's just a fucking southern fucking gentleman, just super humble, awesome fucking dude to hang out with. And he was just like, that's fucking awesome. And he's always marked out for my shit. And I was just like, that's cool as fuck. And, it was just really cool. I mean, it was just really cool. And Drake has been just a fucking awesome dude from day one till fucking now. And that's what it was, man. That's what it was. You know, Drake is just one of them dudes that, he goes out there, he busts his fucking ass, he shows fucking respect to the fans, he does what the fuck he does, and I just don't think that that's a safe place for fucking Little Mondo to be right now. But
gotcha.
Damn, man. Well, I've done fucking a lot of time on this fucking show. I think I'm pretty much about the time to wrap this bitch up.
There you go, man. All right, I'll talk to you later. I'll see you Saturday.
Yes, sir. Look forward to it.
Thank you for having me on the show. Thank you, Eric. I know you're not there anymore.
Not a problem. Stan, definitely, after you watch this show, you know you got to come on and fucking review this shit with us next week. And then definitely got to get you back on the NFL shit. So, you know, you got a place.
Absolutely. Sounds good. All right, man. And if you're at the CZW show, I'll have my notebook glasses so I can have a good review coming up next week.
Do that. Do that. Awesome.
Talk to you later.
Well, check it out, homie. Peace.
Bye.
Yep.
Hell fucking yeah!
Yeah, that's my dude Stan right there. And I know, you know, we went off on the shit and we more or less talked like we fucking homies and did the shit that we normally do. But, hey, man, this is what it is. And I figure I'll give you a little bit of that. You know, do some more shit, that, you know, end the show the right fucking way. Went long tonight, but I figure why not? It's the fucking week before Cage of Death. I had two fucking guests fucking disrespect me on my shit. You know, no big fucking deal to me. It's, you know, I pointed out, but I ain't sweating it, you know. I'll go longer than I would have went with the guests, so that's cool shit. It's all good. So we'll see what goes on. Huge fucking show on Saturday. Double fucking, two fucking shows, man. And then we got fucking Sunday. It's going to go off the chain fucking tomorrow. You got Fighting Spirit Wrestling over there in Brooklyn, man. They're going to tear it up. Shit, you ain't enough, you know, satisfied with the wrestling radio bullshit talk that we gave you. You got my boys over there at the Wrestling Soup. These cats cut a show tonight. Shit, they might even be done by this point because we cut so fucking long. Either way, for my nigga fucking Eric Williams, my dude, hey, man, check you cats next week, 9 o'clock Eastern. You my motherfuckers, thanks for listening. See you then. Peace.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.